All right, it is 10 a.m. Good morning, everyone. I'll call to order the regularly scheduled meeting of the Board of Supervisors here in Story County for this Tuesday, May 14th, and ask if everyone would mind joining us as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, good morning. Looks like we're finally going to get a day that approaches 90, which maybe is a little excessive, but welcomed nonetheless. First item on our agenda is public comment number one. This is a period for the public to comment on items that are on today's agenda. If anybody has anything they want to bring to our attention before it hits us on the agenda later. Seeing no one moving immediately the microphone, consideration of minutes, we have the minutes from May 7th.
Move approval.
Second.
A motion and a second. Clinton.
Aye.
Toot.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Minutes pass. Consideration of personnel actions. We have all items listed.
Approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Personnel actions pass. Agency reports. NAMI. Deb. There's Deb. How are you this morning?
Well, I was asked to keep this brief because you have a big agenda today, so I will kind of...
Closely you follow that direction.
Yeah, well...
I'm just kidding.
I can do that.
No.
I will summarize my report because you've received it, and give some time for questions if need be. NAMI Central Iowa is an agency that provides support and education and advocacy for people living with mental illness and their family members. And I want to thank you for your commitment this past year, which was a very challenging year in a lot of different ways in terms of funding, that you stayed committed to mental health services and to NAMI. And as of this month, we'll be receiving monies for the Wellness Center, you know, that had been held up through the state. So we're thankful for that. The county provides funding for two of our programs. One is the Emergency Assistance Loan Fund, and that is a fund where we are able to give funding to people who have mental illness, who have an emergency come up. And this year, as in other years, most of what we gave money for was for pharmacy, for medications, for rental assistance, and for utilities. And you'll notice that you set aside $3,500, and as of the end of April, we had provided assistance at about $2,280. I was surprised that we have not used more of the funds. I don't think it's because there's not a need. As I indicated in the report, I think it may be more that with the transition from the Richmond Center to Ierley Ball, the case managers, the outreach workers, maybe just aren't as aware of the fund and maybe aren't as in tune, you know, if they've just started working with someone, aren't in tune with the needs. So the person who's doing our loan fund from the board is working really hard to continue to remind them that we have this money available and to encourage them to use it. I wanted to just share one example of someone who was helped through that loan fund. There was a woman who's been working for a long time wanting to live on her own. And she finally worked with her caseworker to the point where her budget was set and she was able to cover monthly rent. But then, of course, you have the deposit. And so she asked for a loan to cover that deposit. And she was just so thrilled when she was able to receive that and move into her own place. I don't often get calls of thanks, but that was one where she called the office and said, thank you so much, because it was a dream that came true for her. And for someone to be able to live independently like that is a huge step. The other program is our Mental Health Wellness Center, which has been in place for about 2 years now, continues to meet the needs of people. We've had around 65 different individuals come But probably more importantly is that each month we have about 250 visits. So we have kind of a core of people who come almost every day, and then other people who come to participate in whichever program is being offered. And again, we like to emphasize it's not a drop-in center, it's a wellness center. So what we offer are all kinds of programs that help people with their mental health recovery, art programs, exercise, nutrition classes, writing programs, a lot of different things. And I just went through some of the evaluations that they do for ASSET. We have outcomes, so they have to do evaluations, and I always encourage them just to write a little something after they've checked off the yes or no. And these are a couple of things that people wrote. One is, having something to do takes my mind off my troubles. Having other people with similar issues helps me relate and not feel alone. Another wrote, having people around me that understand helps me feel confident, safe, and heard. You know, and that's something we kind of take for granted, but for someone with mental illness, that's not taken for granted. Another said, it's a place I can go and be understood and accepted without judgment. And then the last, we do encourage people to volunteer at the center. And so one of the things we ask about is, has that made a difference in your mental health, the fact that you're volunteering? And one said, yes, I feel like I'm worthy of something. And another said, I feel needed. So on behalf of those people and many family members who are taking our classes and being involved in our support groups, we want to thank you for the funding that you've provided in the past year and looking to the year ahead. Questions?
Yeah, my question would be is if someone was listening to our audio and was interested in the Wellness Center and all the programs provided, how do they go about finding more information?
They could go to our website, which is www.namiofci.org, or they can call me at the office, 515-292-9400.
Okay, and you indicated approximately 65 individuals, I believe, when I was reading your notations. Have you... your current facility and so forth, do you have potential capacity limitations without having to farm out operations to different areas?
Well, that's about to change. We were kind of hitting capacity, and what we thought was going to be a problem turned out to be a blessing. We're in the Ames Historical Society building, and we're on the main level, and it's divided into three areas, which makes it a little bit of a crunch when everyone wants to be together. They approached us and said they wanted to take over the whole lower floor and so asked if we'd be willing to move the whole operation upstairs. And first we thought, ooh, upstairs, but there is an elevator. And when they showed us the space, it's two large rooms, which they can take the wall down in between. There would be space for a kitchenette. They're willing to put a sink in for us, and it will actually be a much better space for us. So that'll probably take place. Well, they'll do the renovations probably July, August, so the end of August, 1st of September. We're excited about that.
Outstanding.
A little bit more on a personal note, you know, I always look forward to eating, and each year when you have that little annual opportunity where we would come and meet some of the clients and hear a little update report, have you got a target date set for that so I could put it on my calendar?
Are you referring to the one in July where we usually have a social? Yep, it'll be the third Tuesday. And I think you get our newsletter, so watch that.
Wayne's always thinking with his stomach.
Thank you, Deb, again.
Hopefully we're really appreciative of everything you do, Deb, but also your flexibility in dealing with the county specifically in what was a tough funding year. Hopefully, you know, that's all started to come together, and it's going to be a more consistent source. But we're so appreciative of the services that you and your board provide and the work you do. So thank you very much. Absolutely. Paul, anything? All right. Next item is Heartland Senior Services, Liz Beck. Liz, it feels like we've tried to do this a couple times, and we're finally together.
Well, my apologies for having to postpone this. I did not get a phone call from anyone on the dais about making this short. That should be about 45 minutes.
Absolutely.
Hey, go for it.
Go for it.
But what you do have, I think, mailed to you and in your packet are the remarks I made at the annual donor breakfast last week, and they outline the administrative and management perspective of Heartland for the past year and the intended path for this next year. Those remarks are aligned with our mission and our vision, and they give the board and the staff our marching orders and guiding principles for the next year. I believe that we have an appropriate and solid understanding of the place of Heartland in senior services, Heartland Senior Services in Story County, and we have the energy and dedication to find and assemble the pieces necessary to make Heartland a success. We are highly dependent upon the Story County Board of Supervisors to help that success move along. So what I'm going to do today is outline the data and statistics that fold into those donor breakfast remarks. The 2010 census indicates that Story County has over 12,000 residents age 60 or above. In fiscal year 12, we served 2,357 Story County senior residents, and we actually noted that there were 2,500 on our asset report, but we took out 152 of those who were not in Story County. So we're serving approximately 20% of that senior residency of Story County. And a further breakdown indicates that 906 of those were served outside the city of Ames. For the most part, these 906 were supported by individual Story County dollars. But here's how the numbers actually break out, according to the four services that we provide. In the Adult Day Center, which is overseen by a director who is an LPN and also on staff as a full-time registered nurse, we're able to provide basic medical oversight. Plus, all of the other staff in the unit are universal care workers. We charge $55 a day for a full day of medically managed service. We also give personal showers, do personal laundry, provide nutritious meals geared toward the individual's specific needs, including hand-feeding them if necessary. And the clients are intellectually and socially engaged during their time at Heartland. There is no place else in Story County that provides these services at these costs. Essentially, Adult Day Center postpones having to place a loved one in a residential facility, and the client is able to stay at home. I expect that the future will see an increase in the number of seniors who will be needing a service like this. We are getting older in Iowa. We do not want to leave our homes. And the ability to diagnose dementia at an early stage, at all of these point to an expanded need for Adult Day Center. My concern is that Heartland will not be able to provide service to those who cannot afford other alternatives. Here is the problem I put in front of you. We have a total of 60 clients, and we typically inside use the term participants, but for your purpose, I'm going to call them clients today. We have a total of 60 clients. We can accommodate only 30 at any one time. So not everybody comes every day for all day. They come maybe for Tuesday, Thursday, maybe for half a day. Maybe they're there 5 days a week, 7:30 to 5:30. 21 of those were from outside the city of Ames. And Story County, through asset, does not allocate any funds to Adult Day Center. So when one of the Story County priorities is, quote, accessible medical services to avoid out-of-home placement and institutional care, unquote, I would ask that the board consider allocating some funding to help take care of these Story County residents. Our second service is nutrition, and in there are two parts. Home-delivered meals, this is the service that's like Meals on Wheels outside of Ames, and they're delivered by volunteers to homebound residents 5 days a week. Inside this, home-delivered meals are really two aspects. First is, of course, providing nutritional meals that are individually designed for that senior's nutritional needs. And we know for some of these people, that may be the only meal they get during the day. There are a number of barriers for these individuals living in the county who currently use our service or should be using our service. Transportation to a store to buy food could be a barrier to many of the restaurants or many of the residents, but even some of these communities do not have grocery stores. So I'm surmising that people are buying their food at Casey's, which is more expensive and less nutritional. The second part of this service is what I call the gatekeeper service. So those individuals who are getting a meal delivered to their door are also getting someone who can make sure that at that point of delivery, the client is okay. The volunteers who deliver the meals tend to be longtime volunteers and can see the well-being of the client over time. Periodically, we get a report of someone who might need our nutrition director or our outreach services to check in to make sure they're okay. And in the remarks that I gave at the donor breakfast, you will note there was an instance of a volunteer finding a participant on the floor and able to call 911 to get her the medical help she needed. For the fiscal year 12, we delivered over 21,000 meals to 192 Story County residents who live outside of Ames. A meal costs a little over $9. When we put together all of our funding sources, asset, aging resources of Central Iowa, local option tax, client contributions, we're short about $2 a meal. Not very much a meal. But take that times 21,000 meals. And inside, in congregate, we serve 23,000 meals. Take that times 23,000 meals. We're talking serious money here. One of the biggest barriers is to provide this service because we cannot charge for a meal based on the Older Americans Act, which funnels down through Aging Resources of Central Iowa. We can ask for a contribution, and at this point, we're only able to ask for $3.50. When I help count the money, I've opened up an envelope, which is anonymous, with 27 cents in it. I've also opened up an envelope with a $20 bill in it. So we're never sure what's going to be flowing in to cover the cost of these meals. In the area of congregate meals, we're struggling with the additional cost of a site manager. We have to have a certified site manager in order to meet the Department of Inspections and Appeals. The salaries for those people range anywhere from $6,000 to $8,000. Then we're asked to pay rent for the facilities, which adds another $1,200. So we're paying somewhere between $7,000 and $9,000 to serve meals outside of Ames, and we haven't even brought a meal in yet. So again, we're struggling with the costs of the meals because we cannot charge anyone for those meals that they're eating in those congregate sites. So Asset through Story County through Asset gives us about $11,850 for the congregate meals, which is just the cost a little over a site, one site. The third service is our outreach, and this program is our least visible but crucial to the well-being of seniors in Story County. The outreach staff are trained in working with individual seniors who need help in finding resources such as help paying for bills, understanding medical forms, or maybe negotiating bureaucratic processes such as Social Security or Medicaid. The staff helps the client connect to the resource and probably provides an individual contact within that resource. In some cases, the client contact is just for assessment and then moves forward beyond that. So it's not just a one-time contact. And I've noted in my remarks some of the things that outreach specialists have done. Our struggle is we have a full-time director and two half-time specialists. One specialist covers north of north part of the county. The other specialist covers the south part of the county. When you put in the travel time, you're talking about cutting way back on the ability to deliver services, and let alone try and help new people who need to come into the system. In total, in outreach, we've served about 275 individuals outside of the city of Ames. And in some of these, we do not an outreach charge for services. Our position is that if we charge for services, we may be cutting out people who will not use us because they cannot pay. So we think it's more appropriate to not charge for these services. So we're trying to think about ways to increase staff hours so that we can have more more specialists or more time with our specialists in the county. We'd appreciate any help we could get on the staffing problems for outreach. For those seniors who are active, we have our activity program, which includes cards, exercise, bingo. Big hit is bingo. We also do book discussions and cribbage, etc. Again, we are not supported by Story County Board of Supervisors through the asset process. We are funded solely by the City of Ames and United Way, and that funding covers barely the cost of the activity director. So we've had to implement a fee there, which has not been popular, but has been necessary to help us keep that program going. So 210 of those 949 people who are involved in activities are not Ames residents. They're outside of Ames. So basically, This is a more sober slant of the Heartland Report, and I hope you'll put it with the positive comments from the early report to the donors so that you can see what our successes are, where we've made terrific progress, and where we need to go, but also what our challenges are for this next year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Liz, thank you. It's sobering, the reality of living in a world of limited funding with services that are desperately needed and warranted. And I'll say this, I really appreciate, I know when you stepped into your role, the situation was dire, and I have really appreciated watching the work that you've done to really try to make it viable, and the reaching out that you're doing now to really try to solidify Heartland and where it heads in the future. And there's no easy answers.
No, but there's a great future for it. We just need to figure it out.
Well, and I think you hit the nail on the head. It's going to the need is going to continue to grow.
Right. And I would echo Rick's comments as well. And as I was listening to your report and so forth, and I know you've been in your role long enough to now to understand the process of the asset process, which has been the process by which we fund social service agencies and services in Story County. And I think the fact that we have the different pots, whether it's United Way, City of Ames, Government or Student Body, or the county, you know, as you see these additional needs, these are the avenues that you continually need to work with through that process. We each year annually take a look at our priorities and try to determine the level of funding that is adequate to meet those, and whether we're talking about funding for seniors, funding for special needs population, or juveniles, there is a limited amount of dollars that is available, and trying to figure out how we can maximize, you know, the most effective use of those dollars to provide that level of service will continue to be challenging for us. But I think it's working with your agencies and the leadership of the different groups. Hopefully we can begin to do some long-range planning to recognize that if we can make slight increases over a period of time, we may be able to serve more. But to be able to obviously meet all the needs, whether we're hearing your report, we're going to hear the same story time and time again from many of the other agencies. And that's the fact of where we are right now. But you're doing what you need to do. You're notifying us of what the concerns and needs are. What we will do is we will hopefully direct our Deb and the asset people and the others, along with the City of Ames, United Way, and all, to really work closely with you as we try to address this growing need. So, again, thank you for your service.
Thank you, Paul. Anything? Liz, thanks. We'll email during the day to see if we can find time to get together. Thanks. All right, on to other reports. First item under other reports is discussion of issues with the Story County Drainage District on Airport Road here on the west side of Nevada. And we've got multiple people that we're going to talk to about this, board, but I would ask that we start with Mr. Menz.
Yeah.
If you wouldn't mind coming up, I know you're the gentleman who brought this to the attention of the county engineer, and then, Wayne, I think he came over and had a conversation with you. And so Paul and I have limited information as far as where all this is. I know I had a couple meetings yesterday just trying to figure out the way the whole area looks. So if you could just take us through it, that would be really helpful.
Have you seen any pictures?
I've seen pictures. Yeah, I've driven by. Yep.
Okay. Well, it's been up to the front door of the office three times now. I understand that somebody, Drain Tech or somebody, was working on it yesterday from both ends, and they can't get through. So I assume they're going to have to dig it up.
Yep.
But it hasn't drained. I mean, it's been like this for 25 years, since this road was built. When we had the ditches, there was no problem.
And since I wasn't here 25 years ago, take me through when what is now Airport Road, before it went in as curb and gutter, There were county ditches on both sides of the road that, as I understand from the drawings, drained south. And now we've got a situation where when we went to curb and gutter, it looks to me like we've got it draining any number of directions, but right in front of your property, it looks like it's draining north toward the pond that's just on the north side of your property. Is that the way you understand it?
Right. There's a tile that runs north now, and we have an intake on our property. Well, it isn't draining. And I hope it's the county's problem. I mean, it's a inconvenience, to say the least. I'm surprised we haven't had it inside the building yet.
Yeah, well, I'm it's fortunate it hasn't been inside the building yet.
It's right to the door.
And you know, I'll speak, I guess, first for Wayne and Paul. We're so appreciative that you brought this to our attention, and our commitment is whatever is a county issue out there. And Mr. Menz, it is convoluted where county tiles are. I mean, it doesn't appear that's not a tile district. That all drains over to dredge ditch in drainage district number 5, Nevada 5. So it's really convoluted. It does appear that there is some county structure, some road tile draining north to that pond. And if you're telling me we had somebody out, I think David was probably out there yesterday taking a look. So maybe we found the blockage and we can get this taken care of. And it can be a county issue. But as far as the total drainage area, it's a convoluted mess out there.
It is.
Yeah.
And the neighbors to our south have a septic tank in the front. And when that pond's full, it doesn't work.
Right.
So they're worse off than we are.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for bringing to it. Wayne, any questions for Mr.
No, I think you summarized it quite well. I did go out after the conversation. I took some pictures and just wanted to maybe document that. I also went back and talked to our drainage clerk a little bit, just kind of get a little bit of a history of the area and when this all came about and what the land was like prior to Airport Road going through, and recognizing that with heavy rains, this is the area that's going to have some problems. And again, as I tried to explain, I don't know if it was your son or when I happened to be out there, the difference between if it's a drainage issue, then the level of benefit, the cost is shared by the members of the drainage district, and it would not be borne by the county. And again, that's something that we would have to take a look at to determine, you know, where the basic structure. What I was a little maybe disappointed with, but yet I could kind of understand in the heat of a discussion when you're frustrated, was, you know, some of the things that he was asking me and the board to basically consider allowing him to do as an individual landowner. Which would be something, as I told him, it is certainly prohibited. There's no way that I could, authorize to either build that particular area up or cause that water to be, you know, shifted into another area where another property would be necessarily impacted. But we tried to explain how what we as a county, working with the city and so forth, I think if we, you know, work collaboratively on this, we might be able to mitigate some of the problem, but whether or not it's going to have a increase in water over time is going to be very difficult. But if there's definitely some tile that's plugged, then we have to determine how can that be alleviated and who ultimately is responsible for the cost of that. Mm-hmm. And as Rick said, if it's a county issue, we'll certainly do what we need to do in that regard. But I do think it's very much important that we are aware of this. And quite often, I think over time, whether we're talking about areas further to your north or to the west that's creating the problem, again, it's an area that needs that we all need to be aware of. So.
Very much.
Well, we need to have every structure that's out there operational. I mean, it looks to me like we may not have, there may not be appropriate structures, and I'm not holding the county responsible for that because there's lots of private tile out there and everything else.
Right.
But we need to make sure that whatever county structures we have out there are at least operating as they were intended. And it looks to me, Mr. Menz, at the end of the day, you're in a low area. When it rains a lot, you're going to get some water, but we need to be moving that on as quick as we can and the way it was designed.
We're getting it from two sides. We're getting it from the east side of the road.
Right.
And from the south. So I don't know who instigated the drain tech or whoever is working on it, the city or the county?
I would bet the county, but we're getting ready to have a couple people follow you up who are going to report to us on that. I just wanted to start with you to really get an update of what we were talking about.
Well, I appreciate somebody getting started on it anyway.
Yes, sir.
It's a problem.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. I think I would ask Tyler and Scott to come up. I should report Darren Moon, our county engineer, can't be here today. He is out. I think, Tyler, if I'm not mistaken, he's out on a bridge audit with DOT, which anybody who was here a month ago and saw our bridge report, that's exactly where our county engineer needs to be. Tyler, can you update us on anything that's happened from our end in the last 24 hours?
We did have our foreman get back from being away, being sick. So he came back, and he did get a chance to go out there with drain tech, and they did not have enough length in their jet to jet the entire length, so they went from the north and the south, but there's a section right at the pond that they have not jetted yet, and we'll be clear to do that Thursday, so we've got guys that will be out there, and drain tech will be back out there to locate that last portion, which does have the most willows around it, so
we could have a blockage issue there.
Good. They did say that it was clear both north and south of that, so we'll find out more on Thursday as far as that last section.
But. And do we have any other structures other than the intake, and we have road tile running north to that pond? Is there any other structure that the county has in that area?
I don't believe so. Unless there's a drainage tile, I don't think.
Perfect. So, Scott, I turn to you. Scott is our drainage district trustee or drainage district clerk. Sorry, I promoted you.
Oh, well,
or demoted you, depending on how you look at it. So you can actually have it if you want it. Talk to us about this drainage district.
Okay.
Grant 5.
Yeah, Grant 5, Drainage District Grant 5. It's an open ditch district. It's not a tile district. The only district facility out there anywhere close is the open ditch, which starts at Lincoln Way about a half a mile to the west of the ethanol plant, out where they're building the DuPont plant, and it runs down to Highway 30 by the New Holland Equipment Corporation and continues running south from there. That's the only district facility in Grant 5. Now, then that's it's a little short of 2 miles from the men's property. Anybody in the drainage district can tie into a district facility, but that would be private tile. And there's lots of tile out there. Any tile we'd find out there would be private tile. It's not drainage district tile. So Mr. Menz could run a tile through that ditch, but that's a long way to run a tile, you know, across several people.
But there's no drainage district tile in the area for anybody to tie into?
No.
What comes off that pond? So there's a pond just north of Mr. Men's property. It's got to be drained and somehow ultimately to the ditch. Is there private tile coming off that? Do we have any idea?
And I was in one of the meetings with you yesterday that Darren Moon, our county engineer, did attend, and he had design plans for the paving of Airport Road. And it looked like the road tile, what we presume is a road tile that Drain Tech was working on, attaches to an unmarked tile that goes to that ditch. And there was no information on the size of that tile. We're assuming it's private tile. At the north end of the ditch, there is another tile that runs from that ditch and joins a 6-inch tile. The tile that runs from the ditch, again, we don't know what the size is. It wasn't marked on those plans. It does join with a 6-inch tile, which is almost certainly a private tile, that then runs off the map to the southwest, which would be the direction of the Grant 5 ditch. So how far it goes, we have no way to know.
Okay. And let's say that residents of this area decided that they needed to create a tile district, which I assume hasn't been done in Story County in many, many years. Right. How would they go about creating that?
And we've got 119 districts, combination of tile districts, open ditch districts, some have both. Right now, the newest district we have was created in 1948. So it has been a number of years since we had any districts created. Grant 5 serves five tile districts. They're all within Grant 5. And so those districts, they're tile, but the tile empties into the Grant 5 ditch. So they are a part of Grant 5. They're also their own smaller districts.
Which is what could be created in this case.
That could be created here.
Right.
If the residents out there felt their drainage was insufficient just by relying on surface drainage, wherever private tile is out there, they could petition the county. That's covered in the Iowa Code Section 468 on drainage districts. Two or more landowners can petition the county to create a tile district. For a drainage district, it doesn't have to be a tile district, a drainage district, the petition has to state, among other things, if the district would serve the public welfare or the public good, however they want to address that. If the area is swampy, as much as Story County was, it could be a mosquito issue, it just be that the land isn't useful because of the flooding issues, things of that nature. And the code is clear on what has to be in the petition. The petition has to be filed with a bond sufficient to cover the costs if the district is not created. And those costs would be that if the county acts on the petition, they'd hire an engineer to go out and assess the area and determine whether the petition was valid.
Right.
So that is a cost the county would incur, the cost of a professional engineer.
But the three of us have no authority to do anything unless there's a petition filed.
Correct. So it has to come from the landowners.
Okay. So as far as drainage districts, unless you guys have questions for Scott, I'm going to let Scott go. It looks to me like, I mean, this is in the drainage district. There's no tile there. We don't have any authority to try to create anything. It's all dependent on the residents.
Yeah, correct. And I'm sure you will, but just update us on what you find out on Thursday or Tyler, when you get back out there and see. And hopefully we can also communicate that to the men, is this, what we find.
Yeah, Wayne, I'm actually going to keep Tyler here. Scott, I'm going to let you go. Liz Hansen, I'm going to ask you to come up because we have a unique situation one of the unique situations on Airport Road where we have both city and county drainage systems kind of there on Airport Road, because that road, if I'm not mistaken, is kind of half city and half county. And so I just want to understand, again, I'm fully vested in suggesting that this board ought to direct our county engineer to take care of any of our county drainage structure on there. Liz, I know we contacted you a few days ago about this. I don't know if you've had any time to take a look at Airport Road. I think you guys, seems to me, you're actually draining Airport Road to the east down to Indian Creek. Is that right?
That's correct. All of the drainage is really kind of staying on our side. I'm not really sure what Menz had mentioned there. We looked at the tile, and again, I didn't have a lot of time to look at where everything is flowing and so forth. But if you look at the West Industrial Park, you'll see that there's detention, retention, all those ponds that are required by law as well, by our code. So I know that there's some uneasy feeling about what we're going to be doing with Airport Road Plat 6. But those plans are available if anybody wants to look at the several, close to 10 acres of the 100-acre parcel that we own that will be also a detention pond. So, by law, we have to maintain that on our property, and it can't run off on anybody else's. So I'm sure Darren would vouch for that, or any other engineer in the room. So that's it for me.
Okay, super.
Do you have any other questions about where we're moving forward with?
I'm just trying to understand all this in my mind, where we butt up against each other, and it appears to me we've got water going really to at least two different directions, maybe more than that.
Right.
I'm trying to understand how that relationship all works. Is there any structure that you're aware of on the west side of the road that drains back to the east?
No.
Everything? Okay.
Yep. No. And actually, it's our understanding that just this morning there was a one call, and I don't know, from the county? Is it?
Yes.
David?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I understand that they're out there working on it.
Looking at everything.
Yep.
Okay. Tyler, anything to add?
I do believe that there was a intake on the east side of the road that does drain back across to our road tile on the west side.
Okay, do you know
I think that's at a different location.
Is that further
north? I did bring the plans.
North? Okay.
So I'd have to look at them.
Okay.
Okay. So I would just ask Tyler if you would go back with very clear direction from the board that anything road-related county road related, we dig into, we get operating as it's supposed to operate. And then as we have further development along Airport Road, let's just make sure that we're all on the same page of where everything's draining, whose responsibility it is, and how we're going to deal with, I mean, like you say, law is pretty clear that we got to keep the water on the property, but we need to know how everything's supposed to be operating and make sure it's operating as it's supposed to. Okay. Anything?
Nope.
No. I've talked to my brother a couple of times about it. So.
Good. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Tyler, thanks. Mm-hmm. All right. Next item is discussion of Mid-Iowa Foster Grandparent Program. Deb.
Morning. The Mid-Iowa Foster Grandparent Program Board of Directors had notified the asset funders of some changes going on with that program beginning July 1st of this year. This is a program that does go through the asset process for funding, and it brings individuals into a variety of different school settings to work one-on-one or with multiple students on a variety of things, whether it's social skills, reading skills, other academic kinds of skills. And it the foster grandparents, so to speak, are individuals who then also receive a stipend for providing this service, as well as just the opportunity to be with children. And we had been notified that the program had a site visit by the Corporation for National and Community Service Office. It's a federal office. That site visit occurred about a year ago. There were some things that needed to be shored up and brought into better compliance. And as those steps were being taken to ensure better compliance, the program was then notified that because of the federal sequestration of funds, that the program, if it was to go to another sponsor or to be recompeted, that was not going to be an option after June 30th. And so essentially it will close after June 30th. And Asset has brought this to the attention of the volunteers. Of course, no decisions have been made. There is funding allocated for the program beginning July 1st. The county's portion of that is about $1,400. And I'm not advocating at this point with doing anything different with those funds until we get into the fiscal year and maybe see some needs and some existing services that could use those funds.
Mm-hmm. So is there any action that we actually will need to take as of July 1 since funding, I mean, they're just indicating that they will no longer be operating, and so the funds basically will just be retained within the asset funding allocation as we've had in previous years where there's been carryover. And if it becomes appropriate at some time, if we want to reallocate a portion of those dollars someplace else, that's where you will bring that to our attention after you've had a chance to clearly analyze the need and what funding is available. Is that probably a good summary?
That's correct. And we won't or haven't initiated any kind of a contract for fiscal year 14. So, yeah, the dollars are general fund dollars, so they'll just remain there unless there's another need that's identified in the fiscal year. But it's a very unfortunate situation because these programs are nationwide and benefit the children, the schools, and, of course, the foster grandparents providing the service. But it was a decision that sounds like was out of the hands of the board of directors, so we're kind of stuck.
Disappointing.
They probably don't have enough frequent flyer miles built up.
On a housekeeping note, I think we have their annual report, the Mid-Iowa Foster Grandparent Program, on their annual report on our agenda for the 28th of this month. Will you check and see if that's necessary?
Sure.
If that's something they want to do. I mean, if their report is, okay, we're not going to exist anymore,
right,
we probably don't need that.
Yes, I will follow up on that.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Deb? Yep.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Next item is Economic Development Services presentation. And Leanne, I'm going to start with you, and we're going to work our way through this. As Leanne's walking up, just an update for everybody. The county did, in fact, budget some dollars to provide some economic development help to our smaller communities. This board approved during a request for proposal several months ago. We did, in fact, get five proposals submitted. One of them was from an entity that actually was from Phoenix, Arizona, that had no local ties, so they were eliminated from consideration. Another was dramatically above anything that we budgeted for the services, so they were eliminated, and that left us with three. We have those three entities here today. Leanne, anything you would like to add before I start asking people to come up and present to us?
Just quickly, I will go through a process from here forward so everyone has an understanding. As Supervisor Sanders said, today is the presentations by the proposed consultants. On May 28th, you'll be having an action item to actually select a consultant. May 29th through June 14th, we will work with that selected consultant to develop the contract. On June 25th, at your meeting, will be action on the contract with an anticipated start date for the services of July 1st. I'll be glad to answer any questions about the process.
Wayne, Paul, any questions as we get started?
No.
Okay. I'm sure we'll have questions for you at the end of this, Leanne. I'm going to take these in the order that that they're up here. And the first one I have is, and I apologize if I miss it, Hohenschelt Consulting. And if you guys want to just make yourself comfortable.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Oh, color copy, okay.
Well, first off, I want to thank you very much for the opportunity. This is near and dear to my heart. I've been a resident in Nevada for over 10 years, so I know some familiar faces. Ran the Chamber of Commerce in Nevada for a couple years, and economic development, I've worked with LaVon Schultz with NEDC for, she just can't get rid of me, really. So have had a lot of great opportunities and experience, and particularly with this area. So I'm very excited about this and appreciate the time to come and present to you today. My name is Jackie Haley, as most of you know. This is Melanie Hohenschelt, and she is the head consultant. She's going to go through just a presentation, plan of action. What do we plan to do? What do we need? And the process and how we're going to get to reach our goals. Everyone can see that okay?
Yep. All right, great. Flip off a light. There we go.
Great.
Yeah. Hi there.
She said, I'm Melanie Hohenschelt, and I have been a resident of Ames. I went to Iowa State. And then we're down in Ankeny now, but I'm very familiar with the area, and so this was a great opportunity and something I thought would just be awesome, just knowing the area pretty well. Basically, our entire mission is just to revitalize and provide sustainability for the communities with population under 2,000 in Story County. I want to work with the community leaders and businesses to determine their priorities and goals and create a strategic plan for the year, which I've done with some other of my last consulting jobs. So that's nothing new to me. I want to set up meetings with leaders in each qualifying community to build positive rapport. By that, I am kind of the people person. I like to go out. I want to be at my chamber meetings. I want to be at business after hours. I was an ambassador. So I want to be visible, and I want to be accessible to these people to provide the best quality for them. Any networking opportunity, awesome. That's basically it. And then attend any necessity city council meetings to learn about the process and discuss the opportunities that would benefit the area and develop the plan of action for them. Also, to create a marketing plan for the territory to recruit the projects that would ensure sustainability and the quality of life for the area, and to meet with our counterparts in the economic development to learn and implement those innovative marketing strategies to recruit the new projects. And this would also obviously include completing the proposals and following up with them. and to build the contacts with state and to recruit the new business. Work with local businesses to determine objectives that obtain their definition of sustainability and quality of life in their communities. Basically, I want to know their goals. I want to know exactly what they're looking for, and I want to get them there. So, meet and educate policymakers and key leaders on the economic conditions of the territory. Meet with the legislatures on the issues. Discuss potential policy that would benefit and support rural Iowa. And updating county and local representatives on all facets of the progress.
If I can interlude there, I have some experience, and part of our partnership will be utilizing some of the contacts that I've had on the state. I've worked at the Capitol for 5 years as a clerk in the House chamber, and I've worked for lobby associations as well. So we've got a good, strong connection with our state leaders, our local leaders, and many of those contacts. So I think we can be progressive in that as well as all the other aspects of economic development in that area.
Also, getting involved with the Professional Developers of Iowa and other groups to help recruit businesses and stay informed of their future opportunities and grants and projects. Attending the PDI conferences and meetings to network and learn of any new opportunities that may be available. And meeting with other key leaders that have performed successful marketing strategies so we can keep building on them. Doing a bunch of grant research and submissions focusing on industrial, commercial, and Main Street businesses for revitalizing, expansion, and development. Basically researching and applying for all qualifying grants. Attending all meetings and completing all requirements to secure those grants. And then updating, of course, all involved parties regarding the status of any grant approval. Efforts regarding unannexed areas of the county, the industries that are primarily ag-related, recruiting projects that require minimal infrastructure needs, and concentrating on high-quality jobs for these areas and just trying to provide the best that we can. So, thank you for your time, and do you have any questions for us?
Well, thank you very much, yes.
Okay.
I know we do. My first question, this Board of Supervisors has really, from day one that Paul and I joined Wayne on the Board of Supervisors, have really taken economic development strategies and initiatives in terms of how the county handles it and put it near the top of our list. To that end, we commissioned a CPAT report that I think they reported out to us. Has it been almost 2 years now or 18 months?
Probably about a year and a half.
And everything we've done since then has been built on that report. I'm just curious if you guys have had time to familiarize yourself with that report at all?
Not yet, but we plan to.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And then second question I have, and then I'd turn it over to Wayne and Paul for anything they have. Do you have an idea of what the state of Iowa's targeted industries are and how Story County fits into that?
Yes. We've worked with the state on many different projects. Actually, I helped actually with the DuPont proposal as well. But renewable fuels, biomass, all of that, a lot of what Nevada is concentrating on, ag-related, that is a huge industry for Iowa, huge resource. We want to concentrate on what's going to be the best benefit for the area. And I think those two will be complementary to this area that we would like to focus on. What we'd like to take into account are any new opportunities and the key leaders, what the community wants. We have a direction of where we'd like to lead. We want to make sure it flows, it's on the same page as those community leaders, and we plan to do a lot of research on that. But those industries are great for the state, and they have a lot of incentives for ag industries, so we would like to focus on that.
Super. Thank you.
The only question I have, what do you guys envision for, we're talking about towns in the county that are under 2,000, population of 2,000. In a practical sense, what do you see for a town that size would be able to have an industry or a business that would be interested in locating there?
what kind of businesses. You know, there are a number of things. We've got a great resources. We've got a lot of land that we are not landlocked around that area, obviously. We have plenty of room to move and good incentives there to use them. But we also have a good transportation system. We've got Highway 30, and that's great for transportation companies, and as well as anything that's going to create revenue for the county and the communities that will be tax revenue. That we'll look for those kind of businesses. So, again, ag industry related, transportation, those will be some of the businesses that we'll look into. Does that answer a little bit more? Okay.
Yeah. Wayne, do you have any questions?
Well, obviously this is a new venture, as you've said, that we're looking at. And when I travel in the various communities and I look at whether we're talking Main Street, we're talking the outlying areas, we're talking about industry that may or may not involve land acquisition, converting from ag land, which could require some zoning changes and things of this nature. My question would be, is each community, perhaps as you've already alluded to, want to try to find out what their interests might be, but from a comparison with what you know in this area, are there targeted kinds of things that you give to leaders in that area to help them in the decision-making process as to what may be successful versus something that's been tried in another community? How do you go about trying to educate civic leaders regarding that?
That'll be a huge priority for us, Wayne, and I appreciate you asking that. What we'll be looking at is asking them kind of what their goals are first and where we can go as far as the incentives that they have. What resources do they have around there? Infrastructure needs. Do they have water sewer hookups? Where are those facilities? Are there lands? Then we'll go out and we'll also look at what opportunities are out there. Who's looking? What kind of business are there? Do they fit that need? And that's where we get the community leaders involved as far as, you know, what direction do they want to go? We could have certain communities that have Main Street businesses that just need to fix their fascia. Maybe we'll get some grant options for that. There's a wide variety of economic development that we could work with here, and I think there's a great opportunity for that. We'd like to explore all options before we and talk to those community leaders before we set the goals of that. But does that kind of drive the right direction? Okay.
Well, and I think it's important, too, just to even hear from the people that live in these communities, you know, in different chamber events and things. I mean, we get to talk to not just key leaders, but the actual residents. It's like you want to keep these people in these communities. What is the best way? You know, what are some ways to keep driving in the jobs to sustain this town and to make it better for them and to keep them there? So that's one thing I look at as well.
Mr. Chair, my last question, really, I would like to wait till I've heard all three, and then I want to throw it out there.
Sure, absolutely. My last question, and then we'll move on to the next one. If you guys are selected, it is May 28th, I think Leanne said that we're going to do the selection. Are you prepared for a July 1st really getting going on this thing?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Anything else you want to add? No, we just appreciate the time to meet with you. Thank you so much.
Glad you're here. Thank you for submitting the proposal, and thanks for your time today.
Yeah.
Next is, and I'm not sure if it's CAMPS or CAMPS, and I know I saw Brett Comagies. Just you today? All right. Just you.
All you need, right?
That's it.
I do have some handouts for you.
All righty.
They are pretty color, too.
Yeah, up and going.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
I'm actually tied in with somebody else. Mr. Stalker couldn't be here. He had a family emergency, so I'm flying solo, and hopefully I can answer all your questions and do our proposal justice. What we are, and if you look at CAMPS, the City Administration and Management Professional Services, we have an economic proposal we think is fairly innovative, and hopefully in the presentation we can discuss it. And I too want to echo the group that just came up here. I'm really appreciative that the county is taking the stand and really working hard with communities. You've been involved in a number of different things through TIF and through some other technical assistance grants. I think are major milestones in helping small towns get themselves where they need to be. And I think what we're doing in Story County is what other counties are not doing, but what they need to do. And I've had discussions, I think, with most of you about how passionate I am about seeing rural Iowa flourish, because I think too many people have thrown the towel on it, and I think that's the wrong way to go. I think we have plenty of life left in us. In saying that, there are a number of things that we have to offer, and I'll be brief with these because I think they're probably talking points that everybody up here will throw out. We have an ability to build relationships. We have knowledge of local, state, and federal granting opportunities. We have an ability to help communities better prepare themselves for growth, the ability to market communities, and a conceptual plan that we think will attract businesses to small towns in Story County. When a big piece of our approach is a two-pronged approach. We have a community liaison and a business liaison. And that community liaison is embedded in the communities to work with them. Now, that is something I've already had some background with. I'm embedded in Zering, Collins, Maxwell, McCallsburg, and currently Kelly. I've been working through capital improvement plans with those communities as we speak. And I know I had some lengthy meetings with Kelly just the other night, working through some infrastructure issues that have been plaguing them and basically put them in jeopardy of losing over $500,000 worth of funding. And in 1 hour, we are able to resolve an issue that's been sticking them for 6 months and not only move them forward, but save them $400,000 or $500,000 in the process. So having that community liaison is important. And on the other end of it, Mr. Stocker would be moving forward as the business liaison. Now, this is all outlined in the proposal. I'm not going to read it verbatim to give you time for questions. But on that same note, in no way are we black and white. One is the other. We'll work together, and at times those liaison positions will probably blur to an extent. But we think we've got a pretty good system and a pretty good plan to attack the problems. Here's the basic premise of our plan. We want to determine what kind of business that communities both want and can support. Everybody in a small town, if you go to Kelly, if you go to McCallsburg, they want a grocery store. Can they support it? They want a gas station. Can they support it? Well, it's a wonderful idea. Collins has wanted one for years. But if you go to Casey's, if you have less than 2,000 people in your town, they're not going to come to your town because it doesn't fit their model. Get and go will not come and go won't come to your town if you're on a four-lane highway. These are problems that you have, and you have to help communities deal with real opportunity versus opportunity that's just maybe not feasible based on business models that these companies have. So there's a balancing act you have to work to help these communities through the process. Second, we want to assist communities in developing infrastructure, financial incentives, marketing schemes, and skills that will help them drive their own local development. I think if you talk to probably anybody who's going to talk today, we have to find things and bring in businesses that reflect the values of that community. On that same note, do these communities have the infrastructure necessary to make these things happen? Kelly, for instance, is not on natural gas. They're all propane. Is that going to be deterrent to a lot of businesses? Maybe. That's something that needs to be talked about. Can Kelly make that change? Absolutely. But it's something they're going to have to think about prior to try to bring these businesses in their community. We want to recruit and connect investors with the right communities. And when I say recruit, I don't think that's a very good word. I think we should say marry. Because, you know, I was in the military for 14 years. When I got recruited, I signed a contract. It had an end date. We want to marry businesses with these communities, have a lasting relationship, and make them last 50, 60, 100 years. We want to coordinate with communities to complement one another's development. Collins and Maxwell, for instance, are in a school district. Zering, Colo, and McCallsburg are in a school district. Those particular communities could be involved in like an economic spear well where they will help market and feed each other's economic development. They don't have to be in competition with each other. Maxwell has a grocery store. If Collins gets a grocery store, all that's going to do is pull business from Maxwell, a limited business base, and now you've got both businesses going under because they don't have enough people attending. So if you have an economic sphere that these towns are not in competition, you can help propel both towns in a positive way. We want to continue to work with Story County's drive for a big picture mentality for growth. I know Story County has a big picture. You have a vision for what you want to see it. I also know that sometimes that vision isn't 100% 2020, and I think over time as a partner we can help make that more clear with you. And we also want to work on retention. You know, there are a lot of small businesses in those towns that you have to worry about disappearing because maybe their needs aren't being met, or maybe just the age is progressing for the people who own it, and there's no plan for transition to move from one person to the next to take over that business. And I'll be honest with you, profit margins are so small in small communities that you have to find a way to make that that transition work. You're not going to put a Walmart. You're not going to put Buffalo Wild Wings in McCallsburg, Iowa. It's just not going to happen. You don't have the massive labor force or a local college there to draw a clientele base from. So you have to find things that are innovative within that community, and you have to make the businesses who have made it work up till now continue to work. The question is, why is this innovative? And I think there are some innovative traits to this approach. Communities need to collaborate with one another, complement one another, and support one another, and they'll be more likely to succeed. If you've ever been through a school district consolidation, you know that there's a lot of times some hard feelings with that. A lot of towns see themselves as rivalries as opposed to alliances. They should be sharing services. They should be working together for economic development. And this is something we would try to coordinate and collaborate with them. We also want to make sure communities are willing and able to embrace the change it takes to grow. In some towns, they don't accept change very well. And that's a hard process, but it comes through education, discussion, and a lot of hard work. And we want to give these towns the ability to market themselves beyond this program. There's a shelf life to this. You guys will fund it this year, maybe the next, maybe a third year. But eventually, these towns are going to have to function on their own. And how are they going to do that? What people are going to be able to do that with them? What's going to happen when you have a transition in council from one council to the next? These are all things they've got to be worried about and thinking about, and they have to have people and processes embedded within their community that will help them with those transitions. We need an acknowledgement that each community may need unique solutions to common problems. Everybody has problems with their main street, but everybody may have a unique need to fix it. And there are grants out there. There's derelict building grants. You know, Zering just got $80,000 to revamp some of those things. Collins has received some money. I know Maxwell's done a wonderful job with some local groups that have stepped up and tried to beautify the community. And I've been working with them to try to get those groups in coordination and having them working in conjunction with the city as opposed to being at ends with them. And the other thing is we want to enable communities to take ownership for their own progress. We don't want to just feed them. We want to teach them how to fish so they can feed themselves. And I think that's the long-term solution to the problem. And finally, I think anytime you bring a third party, and I think all three presenters up here will say the same thing, it's very important to have that third party be able to assist individuals, businesses, and cities to utilize and get hold of different financial incentives that allow them to prosper. Final thoughts. We're already in a lot of these towns. We understand the dynamics of rural life. And I'll tell you, in these communities, there are more Hatfields and McCoys than you can imagine. There are more people who just won't go to a shop because somebody's grandpa got upset with them and told them they wouldn't ever take their business there again. I mean, there's a lot of dynamics in these small towns you got to understand. And if you get in these small towns and you work with them and you talk with them, you become their friend, you build that relationship, you can better work within those dynamics. We bring a fresh approach. We have a personal stake in the viability of rural Iowa, and I made this my mission in the last, you know, number of years to do this. We're familiar with the county's economic development objectives. We have a lot of experience in municipal infrastructure, which I think is one of the biggest things because most of these communities just are not up to speed with the infrastructure it takes to grow. And the ones that are, it's because they are required by the DNR to do so. It's not because they voluntarily raise their hand and says, hey, I want to spend $2 million on a new lagoon system. And we're extremely passionate about the project. We want to do this. We want to make these towns better. We want to work in collaboration with the county. And more importantly, we want to make a county model that is the envy of everybody in Iowa. With that in mind, I'm done.
Brent, thank you very much. I hope it's nothing serious with Mr. Stoker having an emergency, and I'm not asking to know. I know how stretched you are. I know something about how you use your time. I don't know Mr. Stoker. I don't know what kind of time he has. Can you walk me through how you see the relationship between you and him? And I know you had bullet points that kind of showed how you're going to split this out. But tell me something about him and his expertise. I know he was a city manager. I know those kind of things. But tell me something more about that.
Well, he's been operating independently as a city administrative consultant for the last few years. I know he's worked with engineering and worked with cities across the state of Iowa. And he's dedicated this type of project full time. Myself, I know you're right. I do have another job. I do work full time in a school district. In saying that, just to prove to you about my ability to make deadlines, you know, we had the opportunity for a technical assistance grant here that just opened up, I want to say, in March. And in that time, I took on four communities, and three of those communities are already met their deadlines, and one more will meet it by June 6th, which will fulfill the requirements of the county and get all those counties moving forward with the capital improvement plan, administrative reviews, and emergency operations plans that they can use on the local level. Now, I know for some people that's a lot of work, but I bit off just as much as I could chew. And I look at this and I realize this is something that I can bite off and I can definitely chew and get down. I feel very comfortable with the workload, and I feel very comfortable with the organization that myself and Mr. Stalker have put together and how we can make this thing work. A great question. Thank you. Does that answer it, by the way?
It does, yeah, absolutely. Do you know if he's familiar with the CPAT report? I know you're intimately familiar with it. Have you and him discussed it at all? Do you have any idea?
We have talked about it, but we spent most of our conversations working on the overall concept. And we aligned ourselves mainly in this proposal to the county's RFP. So, but obviously there's some elements in that RFP that align to that proposal. So.
Okay. Wayne, questions?
I guess it probably relates a little bit to, I feel like I'm a little bit more familiar with you only from the standpoint that early on in this process you did come before the board and talk about your vision in this particular area, and kind of may have had a little bit to do with when you saw where we as a board was going, and then looking at some of the things you've done in your own community. But you've talked about your familiarity with a lot of these small communities, and you've raised some very good points there. How do you see all of this really coming together, where you have some winners and some losers? Some communities may want to start a project initially, but will not be in a position to probably see that to fruition. Do you have a fallback plan or a time situation where you will be able to keep them engaged over a period of years?
Well, there's a couple things to that. Number one, I don't know if this particular project is going to be funded more than 1 year. So there's a limitation that the county is going to put on the project or the process. But the most important thing to help these communities move forward is to get in there and educate them fast. Make them realize the hurdles they've got to go over. Have them take a realistic look at their local economic base. Have them focus hard on their current retention values. Help them get in place financial incentives that might attract businesses into that place. And, you know, the very first thing you can do is just do an economic survey around the community to find out what kind of interest level there is for particular businesses in that town. What will people support? And you can use that to drive your conversations. You also need to get people in that community that are designated to be involved in economic development aside from the actual councils, because there's a lot of turnover in those councils from year to year. As you know, it's an election-based process. You never know who's going to be there. There's a transition point. If you can have an independent group or like a park and rec, but an economic development group within those towns, that group can work and they can start continue the process that we start with them. It's not just about, like I said, feeding somebody. It's about teaching them how to fish and how to feed themselves. And that's one of the things I think we can do to help keep this process moving forward over a long period of time. To me, it's an economic revolution, and once you start a revolution, you got to keep it moving. The whole idea is revolving over and over again, and we want to do that. I don't know if that answers your question or not, but
this year in the legislature, there was some talk about sales tax districts and so forth. Are you familiar with this?
Somewhat.
Horry County.
Could you go back one more time?
This is being a viable
before tool. That, I got most of it, but
districts that was discussed in the state legislature.
The sales tax.
Yeah,
I do see it as well. It's like anything; you can make anything work for you. It depends on how those cities are able to budget and how they are able. I mean, I'll be honest with you. You go to some of these towns and you look at the way their budget. They drop everything into a general fund, and they don't even have it separated per real fund. They don't have a sales tax is not being used properly. I mean, there is right now, most of the towns in Story County have a resolution or sales tax use ordinances that they're not following. It's a lot of it's about educating these communities about the tools that are out there, whether it's new, old, or future legislative processes and helping them take advantage of them. So can it help? Sure, but is it going to hurt them? Depends on them.
Oh, I'm good for now.
Hey, one question that you brought up just a minute ago, and Brett, I ask you this because you've also seen the Story County Economic Development Group work from the other side. How do you see, when we ultimately award this to one of the three of these groups, how do you see the relationship with that Story County Economic Development Group that already exists pulling together all the communities?
One of my biggest concerns about that the Economic Development Group is it is a there is so much information that's been out there. It's really almost information overload, and I think one of the most important things we can do to make that connection is help funnel that information and help it make it digestible. And I used the analogy before about how to eat an elephant. Well, you got to do it one bite at a time, and I think if you can, but it's not just taking a bite; it's knowing which part of the animal to bite.
Sure.
And I think working with those communities to funnel that information and make it usable for them, I think, is the first step in building that relationship.
Okay. But do you see our consultant as taking an active role with that Story County Economic Development Group, or do you see him?
No, I don't think there should be any. I think everything should be gray. I don't think there's any black and white lines. I think these groups should be coordinating and working together to move themselves forward.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
And final presentation is the Ames Economic Development Commission. Dan and others, I guess.
Morning.
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 Morning. Thanks for coming over today.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
All right, great. Good.
I'm also going to share with you a marketing piece. This is by no means the loan marketing piece that we use, but I'm going to use it as an illustration later on in the process.
Well, good morning. I'm Dan Culhane, and on behalf of my board of directors, the Ames Economic Development Commission, we certainly appreciate the opportunity to discuss our proposal. With me this morning is Matt Converse, chairman of our board of directors. Matt's in the back, and I can tell you that our board of directors has fully endorsed this exercise and this process, and most were invited, but they're business people that are engaged in a number of other things and could not be here this morning. I want to briefly talk about the scope of services. You've seen our proposal. You've seen our response to the proposal. I'm not going to go through that in much scale. We'll talk about our conceptual plan. We'll review the AEDC team. And I often like to say that our bench is fairly deep. We've got a lot of expertise in a wide variety of disciplines. And that allows us to be quite competitive when it comes to things like this. And I'd also like to discuss briefly some past successes in my tenure and in others on our staff that have occurred over the years. By way of introduction, I've been in this business for 19 years. I started in a very rural county in North Iowa after Iowa State. I ran the Franklin County Development Association. The county seat is Hampton, from 94 to 99. I went to Mason City and started the Mason City Economic Development Corporation in 99, ran that through 2006, and I've been here in Ames ever since. Let's go into the scope of services. And these are the questions that were posed to us, and I'm going to touch on each of them. You know, marketing the story of county and communities to businesses seeking to locate or expand. We do that every day. We do that in Ames, we do that in Huxley, and we do that in Story City. And occasionally we do it outside of those three jurisdictions if we can be helpful. We know there are other folks and competent people in other parts of the county, and so we don't tend to overstep our bounds, but if we can be helpful, we'll always try to do so. We're currently working on a small project in Cambridge right now with the mayor of Cambridge. Marketing Story County and Communities is a place to live and raise a family. This is the one that resonates the most with me as I look at this RFP. I think the two previous presenters have stated it somewhat as well, too. Candidly, infrastructure does not always exist in every community to host a Barilla manufacturing facility. And while this is a process or a proposal for economic development services, I think you could also call it community and economic development services. And I'll talk about that in a bit as well. Because as I look at the opportunities that come into Nevada or Ames or Huxley or Story City in terms of large-scale projects like the DuPont Pioneer Facility, not everybody's going to choose to live in Nevada or Ames or Story City. There are lots of viable locations. A good example right now that I can share, and I probably should have asked for permission first, is the new a new person that's employed at REG, the Renewable Energy Group, that's headquartered in Ames. They moved here from California and they bought a house in Colo. And the gentleman said, I bought a really big square house, and I've got plenty of space in the backyard for my kids to run. That was a great option for me. That's one of the things where I think we can provide an awful lot of value because we interface with so many companies on an annual basis. I think that's where we can be very helpful. Assess, update, and implement the economic development recommendations of the CPAT plan. I'm familiar with that. I served at some level in that process. We think that's important. We think that's a good roadmap, and we think we'd use that as we move forward. Educating management staff and elected officials. Certainly, it's an education process every day, and we're educated as well. While we've got some people that are long in the tooth, if you will, in economic development, we continue to learn every day, and we continue to work with our relationships across the state and across the country to continue to put best practices in place for the people that we serve. Information and guidance for new and existing businesses. Existing industry, business retention is a hallmark of what we do. We've got a person fully dedicated to business retention and expansion. Why? Because the vast majority of the job growth in our communities, no matter where you are, whether you're in Kelly or you're in Ames or you're in West Des Moines, the vast majority of the job growth in any community is going to see is from the people that are already here. And so while we do spend a fair amount of money on external marketing, we spend a fair amount of money on existing industry, too. Pursuing new retail and other businesses to occupy vacant, underutilized properties, we're doing that now. And when you reference retail, we've recently signed on with a group out of Fort Worth, Texas, to provide us retail analysis on the Ames market, and we think we can apply that to other parts of Story County as well. Database for key contacts. We have over 500 site consultants that we are regularly in contact with via direct marketing email that we conduct monthly, and we would it would be quite easy to incorporate the balance of Story County that's under the auspices of this RFP into that process. Serving as a liaison, we're doing that now, and I think we do that fairly well, and I think we could do that in a professional manner for the balance of unincorporated Story County and the communities under 2,000 people. Database of properties. We've got that infrastructure in place. We use the LOIS, the Location One Information Solution System. It's been very effective, and it wouldn't take an awfully long time to incorporate the balance of Story County into that. And distributing hard copy marketing materials and things like that. We don't do a lot of hard copy. I had to print these this morning for you, but that's an example of something that we use to leave behind, if you will, as we talk to prospective industries and site consultants.
Yeah, and I would say that we will work with IT folks in the respective here in Story County Courthouse, and if people have web developers for the independent communities, we're certainly prepared to do that, or we're able to help them with web development assistance. State and federal legislative issues, we have to be up to speed on those things for the places we currently serve. I don't see that as being something that we could not do for the balance of the county. And information regarding grants and loans, I like to tell prospective industries oftentimes that long before Dan Colhane was in Ames, Ames could always secure financial assistance. And I've got a history of that as well. But it isn't about me. It really isn't about any individual on our staff. We've just got a really good history and a good breadth of knowledge on how to make those projects work. And if you pay attention to the Iowa Economic Development Authority board minutes, quite regularly we've got a project that's being funded by the state of Iowa. The conceptual plan. Let's face it, successful economic development is really based on relationships, and that's where the first place we need to go. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I know every mayor in every community in this county, but it'll be a priority to meet with mayors, city councils, whether it's in a regular session or otherwise, local economic development boards. I think just about every community has got an economic betterment group or some group that gets together and says, how are we going to fix this? We need to engage and interact with those folks. We certainly need to be at this table periodically with you folks and also your staff and the planning staff here in Story County. And I add school administrators to this list, too, gentlemen, because I think school superintendents and school board members are certainly engaged in the community when it comes to economic and community development. And we need to understand what they're doing, what kind of infrastructure improvements they're making, because if we understand what they're doing, we can sell that. And certainly, you don't run an effective economic development organization without having an open-door policy for citizens. You know, while we are a public-private partnership currently, and we've got roughly 100 funders in our economic development organization right now. I don't care who it is, someone in Ames or Huxley or Story City knocks on our door, or frankly anybody else for that matter, we're going to let them in. I mentioned we need to build out the inventory of sites and available buildings. We need to understand the real estate side of unincorporated Story County and these smaller communities. Again, there are viable residential options in these communities, and if we can help them with housing, we'll do that too. Or if we can help by placing someone who's taking a job at Lincoln Way Energy in one of these communities, we'll do that too. We just need to have a keen understanding of what those offerings are. Regular meetings with city councils and boards of supervisors. And I mentioned this in our RFP. I've been on that Story County Economic Development Group for 7 years now. Meets twice a year. It's a great group of folks. They talk the big talk, if you will, and talk about what's going on in their communities and have a cup of coffee and they go on their way. Everybody's well-intentioned. Everybody that's around that table is working hard on behalf of their own respective communities. I really believe that might be a very good mechanism for this contractual agreement, if you will. I don't know if it's an advisory board or whatever you want to call it. Maybe it meets more than twice a year. But maybe this position, this contract, interacts most with that group of people. Because if you think about the folks that the folks that come to that meeting, it's for the most part a recurring group of people. You know, it's Ben Ware from Colo and folks like that. You know, maybe that's the opportunity to really engage folks at a level that this position, this allocation of funding you're putting forward, is going to require. So we're open to suggestion on that, but we really do believe that that might be a very logical way to support this process. What does this mean to the current state of the Ames Economic Development Commission? It means possibly modifying our strategic plan. But in the grand scheme of things, gentlemen, there isn't a lot in our RFP that would have to radically amend our current strategic plan. We're doing a lot of these things already. Revision and expansion of our website, that would need to be done. That isn't something that's overly complex. It's just a matter of putting that in place and making sure the communities that we're going to be represented on that website have input on what's going to be on there. And as I handed out earlier, and anybody that's here today, if you want a copy of Ames at a glance. If you have a hard time sleeping, you're certainly welcome to an overload of demographic information on the Ames, Huxley, and Story City community. And finally, the hiring of a person dedicated to this contract. The person that is going to be leading this is currently doesn't know they have a job yet, but our plan is that we would hire somebody, we would mentor that person. They would have some background, but they would be mentored by me and a number of folks on our staff to make this move forward. Frankly, I liken this contract to a very rural economic development group. And I ran one of those, and I understand what that takes. And I'd really like the opportunity to bring someone along and help move this process forward, because the issues that we're going to be working with in Colo are not going to be the same as the issues in Huxley or the issues in Ames. You know, we're currently working on a grocery store project in Huxley right now. Siting grocery stores is not easy when your demographics are such that, you know, if there isn't a grocery store there today, there's probably a reason. And so you need to find alternative solutions to providing services to people that they'll be satisfied with and that they can support. The AEDC team, as I said, I like to say that our bench is fairly deep. I've been around for 19 years. Ron Hallenbeck handles our existing industry program. That's his focus, along with the AMC Capital Fund. The AMC Capital Fund just recently raised, or is still in the process, but has raised nearly $1.8 million for seed investing. The most exciting thing about that program is that we've got people from outside of Ames investing for the first time in the AMC Capital Fund. Tiffany Coleman actually starts tomorrow. Tiffany is a certified economic developer. She's been around for about 17 years. She has good practical project experience, and we're excited that she's going to be leading our external marketing piece for the Economic Development Commission. Lauren Franzen has been with us for around 9 months. Lauren handles our communications and social media. Angela Davidson handles our government relations and our workforce development piece. And I mentioned government relations not because this contract is going to be focused on government relations, but what I'm trying to paint a picture of is that we've got people in place to help when those issues arise. Amy Mogren's our finance director, but she also has a keen understanding of state programs and financial assistance. And then the last two ladies in the bottom right, Carrie Haig and Kim Hanna, run the Main Street and the Campus Town groups in Ames, and they fall under the umbrella of the Ames Chamber of Commerce. I mention them because they provide perspective. They provide perspective on saving old buildings and historic preservation and things of that nature. And so while those last two won't be overly engaged in supporting this person, they'll certainly be around the table. And that's what I'm trying to illustrate here, is that we've got a group of people that will support this project and this contract. It'll be led by one person, but it'll be closely followed by myself and these other seven people. Project successes, I think anybody that gets up here can tell you about the big company they got to work with, and so we did the same thing. We've got a few up there. And you'll see some companies that are predominantly in Ames, and at the same time you'll see a few that are not in Ames. Kraft Foods, Alliant Energy, and Cargill, ConAgra Foods. Those are some things from my previous professional experience. But there was a comment in the RFP or a question about handling tight deadlines, and I can assure you, and I mentioned it in the RFP, but I can assure you that almost every project it has a tight deadline. They shouldn't always be that way, but it always seems like they end up that way. We're always rushing to a city council meeting at the last minute to get an approval because the state board meets on Thursday. And so we certainly understand, respect, and appreciate timelines and deadlines, and that would be nothing new to what we're currently doing. With that, we think this is a very unique opportunity. We think it fits really well, and on behalf of our board of directors, we'd respectfully request your highest consideration of awarding us the contract. With that, I'll stop and ask for questions.
Well, Dan, thank you very much. Appreciate the presentation. You hit on the CPAT report, so I'll skip that question that I've got jotted down here. But I'll ask you, talk to me a little about what the state's targeted industries are, and how you see, I'm sure you've thought about how Ames fits into those, but how would you envision the rest of Story County fitting into some of those targeted industries?
Well, there are three targeted industries: advanced manufacturing, information solutions, and life sciences.
and you might say even a little bit of warehousing and distribution, but that is one of the key targets of the state. And it's really a key target of the Greater Des Moines Partnership. Ironically enough, of those three, the one where Ames in particular fits in the best is probably life sciences. And yes, we've got some software companies. We've got a software company that's a giant right now that's growing exponentially in web filings. But by and large, the activity we see dovetails with the expertise of Iowa State University. And candidly, you could say what the activity that LaVon Schultz sees here in Nevada is no different. You look at the great project success that LaVon Schultz has had in this community, and she's leveraged her resources with Iowa State University and the infrastructure of Iowa State. I still feel like that's in our wheelhouse too. Life sciences, some information solutions, but information solutions, you have to have a pretty sizable broadband communications in place. And as I mentioned that, we're also in the process of working on behalf of, Story County with Connect Iowa. We're going to be putting that data together this summer with an intern. But I think our best days, our best foot forward, is really when we could talk to life science companies. You saw the logo for Solem. It's a Silicon Valley-based startup soil testing company that's doing very well in Ames. That we won that project over a site in Nebraska, and ironically enough, Urbandale of all places, for this biotech company.
Thank you.
And I try to keep everybody on their toes and not ask the same questions, so I'm going to throw this one out. In your proposal and in everybody's proposal, they talked about and used the term various strategies to explore economic entrepreneurial development. If you had to pick two or three key strategies for these smaller communities of under 2,000, what would you suggest that you would like to really focus primarily on to initiate the direction that they'd like to go?
Well, I think first and foremost, you need to manage expectations. I think we'd really be misleading folks if we went in and said, we think we can put an ethanol plant and pick a small town here in Story County. Some of those things only go certain places. And so we need to better understand what the inventory is, what the infrastructure is that's in place. You mentioned entrepreneurial assistance. There's tremendous infrastructure that doesn't fall under the auspices of the Ames Economic Development Commission through the Papa John Center and the ISU Research Park. The Papa John Center isn't just for the Research Park or just for Ames. Those people will reach out. Mike Yupa actually lives in Huxley, and we've got exceptional relationships with those folks. We'd want to engage people that are contemplating a business start in Colo with people like that. While this contract would be with us, we're also going to leverage our resources by reaching out to people who have the expertise that we don't necessarily have.
I'll ask you to look into your crystal ball, pull it out of your pocket and shine it up. We've committed to this fund this for 1 year. Convince me that in 6 months, after this starts, when we start talking about the budget for the next fiscal year, that, are you going to be able to come to us and say, here's where we're at so far, and this is a worthwhile project, and we really think you need to look at this in terms of more than just 1 year at a time, or for certain for the following fiscal year?
Well, you can be assured that I'll say that. Yes.
Yeah.
Realistically, it's going to take a little bit of time to develop these relationships and build the necessary infrastructure. That doesn't mean we're building a building. What it means is gathering that information and putting it in a comprehensive fashion to properly represent these communities in the unincorporated parts of Story County. I've gone through this before, Supervisor Toot, with specifically with Huxley. We have had a contract with Huxley now. We're in the second or third year of our contractual relationship with Huxley. And it came, we started in July, and it came to budget time, and, nothing's happened. We think we're going to cut you loose, Dan, and, it's been fun. And, we said, hang on. I mean, it takes a certain amount of time. I'm happy to hear we've got great activity in Huxley right now. In fact, we've got as much activity in Huxley right now as I think we do in Ames in terms of real live round projects that would have significant impact. And so I think the challenge is up to any of the finalist presenters here today to show meaningful progress in 6 months. But I think it's very doable. You know, the last thing I'd mention too, and I might have said it earlier, but I talk about community development. This could mean someone writing a grant to Prairie Meadows for their grant program, as an example. I know a lot of our communities, a lot of the city clerks here in Story County occasionally will talk about the Prairie Meadows grant. And there are other grants like that that, you know, getting a $2,500 grant for a community sign could be really important. And so I won't measure the success of this based upon how many jobs were created in Colo, because that may not be realistic. But if they're happy with a signage program or with some downtown community betterment grant or things along those lines, that's how we'll measure our success.
Other questions, Wayne? Were you holding one? Were you holding a surprise question for the end?
Well, yeah, at the end, but I'm going to then come back to you, and since all three of them are here, they're going to get to hear the previous response, but you just figure out how you want to have them respond. We can either have them respond in reverse order or start the same order, but as soon as you tell me that, and I'll throw the same question, I want all three to respond.
All three. Would it be helpful if we talk to Leanne for a couple minutes first?
Sure.
And just
absolutely.
Let Leanne kind of start to pull this together for us, and then we'll let you be our concluding wow factor. How about that?
Right.
Leanne, thank you very much. I'd ask Leanne Harder to come up. Leanne, hopefully, between the three of us, we hit on questions that I know you've had as you've been thinking through these things. And so I just wanted you to walk us through not only the process, but kind of where we are. And I thought Paul asked Dan a really important question. Okay, when we get 6 months down the road, what's your expectation of how the Board of Supervisors ultimately is going to see this as a worthy project to continue?
Well, first of all, let me express my thank you to everyone that did come to present today, and just go on a quick tangent. I'm so appreciative of the board's efforts and driving this forward and taking us in directions we haven't gone in Story County for years. And it's very exciting because not only do we have economic development opportunities ahead of us, we have community development opportunities, and they're all dovetailing quite nicely. My crystal ball keeps on breaking on me, but 6 months from now, I'm hoping that whatever contractor ultimately selected, there's going to be enough up and going, fast running, meeting with communities, that communities are going to be really reaching out to the Board of Supervisors in 6 months saying, yes, please continue to budget this for another fiscal year. And I'm hoping through that time, too, your professional planning staff can take a role and make this more of a sustainable effort, whether it's continually contracted out or develop expertise more on our end, too. But, yes, in 6 months, I hope you do find the funding to continue it.
But I heard you say maybe that's going to be we're going to need to hear from the cities that they're seeing real value in, the smaller towns I'm referring to,
right,
that they're seeing real value.
Right.
And the citizens, too, unincorporated Story County. And very many entities would have to come to you and say that there is a value to this program. And my crystal ball is going to say you're going to be hearing that.
Yep.
But I agree with what's been said, though. I don't think measuring number of jobs in one community is going to be the measurement of success. There are so many elements of economic development that just looking at creation of jobs is short-sighted.
Any questions? I'm sorry, Wayne.
No, I was just going to piggyback. I think as Leanne's response and the response we heard from Dan, I think, and Paul's question, I want to thank you for that question because obviously that's something we think about. We didn't use the term pilot, but in a lot of ways this is really what it was. We're venturing into new territory. We threw out this proposal. We wanted to find if there was interest in the communities, and then we recognized that we as a county, if we could step up to the plate to help provide some funding to get this assistance going and to be able to develop these collaborations and involvement in communities, there was a greater chance to see vitality within our respective communities. And so I do think, and I'm very hopeful and optimistic that because of our interests, you as planning and development, and what we're hearing so far, that I would expect that there would be a desire for us to continue this beyond the six-month time frame. But at the same time, I think it is important for us to have some feedback and some idea that things are moving in that direction, as we've already seeing this happening right now. Just from, you know, you and I, we went and visited Kelly the other day to get some response, and as a liaison in that area, and I'm sure that Paul and Rick have had an opportunity to do the same with other communities. So I think the emphasis is there. The sustainability will depend upon the buy-in from not only who gets this contract, but the communities in general. And I know when you think about it only in terms of 6 months, some may say, well, there's really no way that we can pull all this together to make a viable presentation. But I'm very hopeful that we'll have enough in place and that we could look at this at least through another funding stream for at least another year out to see it happen. So that's
yeah. Well, the exciting thing is we're here now, and we'll deal with 6 months from now. 6 months from now, but it is exciting that we're here now. Leanne, questions that we missed as Wayne throws out his bombshell, and maybe I'm overbuilding Wayne.
And you knowing me,
is there anything we missed? And if not, is there anything else that you need to add today for the board?
I don't think there are any not knowing Wayne's bombshell, I don't think there's anything I'm lacking for information.
Okay. Anything else?
Just for the board's benefit, prior to today, I'll just quickly share with you just some analysis we did, Rick and I did, behind the scenes. To invite the three to come forward. We had a review sheet set forth with three separate sections, total 110 points. We looked at Section A, proposal specifics, proposal requirements. Was the application signed? Was the application, did the applicant bind the proposal for 90 days? That very specific. That was possible 10 points. Section B then addressed the scope of services of the RFP. You know, if you recall, there are six bullet points, all capsized into a nice paragraph, six or seven, and that section addresses experience on a scale of experience to no experience, 5 to 0, and that's 30 points on that section. And then Section C looked at the conceptual plan each proposal brought forward and looked at whether or not they incorporated specific strategies related to everything from business expansion and retention to workforce analysis, organizational structure, strategic planning, targeted industries, financing, site selection, marketing, promotions, Main Street, GIS, a number of specific tasks, and that was 70 points. So with those, each of them were scored and then brought forward. Then those three were then brought forward.
And you'll bring those tallies forward to us on the 28th as we take this under consideration?
Correct.
Okay. Any other questions for Leanne? Leanne, thank you very much. Let's do this. Let's do the bombshell in reverse order just to try to keep things fair. So, Dan, even though you're just down, I'll ask you to come back up.
Okay. Okay, great. I really wouldn't call this a bombshell, but you know, in my former life, you know, as a teacher and a coach, and then trying to make decisions when you have three outstanding proposals before you, and trying to arrive at that point, sometimes one of the most simplest questions that can be asked is, as we've heard each of you give your presentation and seen a lot about what you do, what is it that you could tell this board that sets you apart from your other counterparts and that make us want to feel that you are the agency that we should want to enter into a contract with? That's the same question I want all three to respond to.
For the Ames Economic Development Commission, it's quite simply our infrastructure. Our infrastructure is immense by comparison. If you look at the people that are here this morning with me, any one of those folks at one level or another can handle an economic development project. So and I hate to use this term, but that's the first thing that comes to my mind, and that is our bench is deep. We've got relationships in place. One of our references is Debbie Durham. She's a good personal friend of mine who runs the state agency for the Iowa Economic Development Authority. When we call, they'll pick up the phone. And I'm not saying that for the other candidates they won't pick up the phone too, but I know firsthand in our own experiences that they'll pick up the phone. And so we're confident that we can deploy a proper plan of work for this contract because of the infrastructure, the people, and the expertise we have in place.
Thanks, Dan. Yep. Brett, you're the middleman for both of these, man.
Yep. That's the question again. You just want me to give it?
Well, if you want me to repeat it, I can.
Well, I think you just want to know what sets me aside from everybody else. I think everybody up here has got a lot of things to bring to the table. Everybody's got their own strengths, their own weaknesses. I don't know if they're strengths or weaknesses, but I can tell you, I'm as an educator too. You know, I understand the value of preserving small rural towns, and you know, I went through a consolidation process a few years ago, and I watched what that did to the community. And a lot of that's based on enrollment, and enrollment is based on population, and population is waning because small towns don't have the resources and amenities to offer people, and that's really why I got involved in this. That's what sparked my interest 10 years ago. And I've always been looking for venues and avenues to address that problem. I live in these communities. I've worked with these communities. I've been embedded in these communities. And I can tell you, all their problems, I feel their problems. And I've had the good fortune to be around a lot of other people like yourselves, like the people in those respective towns. And because of that, I think there's a lot of great solutions that we can come up with that are unique to those specific towns. In saying that, my bench isn't that deep. I don't have 15 consultants, but I can tell you, you've got a dedicated two individuals who believe they've got a plan and strategy to help develop these towns from within, and not just try to recruit businesses to come to us, but to meet them in the middle, so we can support them and we can build a lasting relationship that goes on for many years. And we also want to focus heavy on the retention side. That's one thing I think that kind of sets us aside, because in small towns, the businesses that do exist have a risk of disappearing. And they've been making it this long. They have a plan. They've been surviving. How do they do it? And how do we help the next group to come in to take over for them, maintain that success? And those are things that we'll be thinking about and doing and focusing. And like I said, you go back to the specifics in our plan, the non-compete economic spheres we want to develop. We want to work with the towns. We want to challenge the towns. And we want to give them the skills to drive forward. You know, you mentioned earlier, someone mentioned earlier about grant writing and some of these little grants. You know, we've raised, in the last year myself, I've written $60,000 in little grants. I'm talking $2,500, $1,500, $500. They all add up. And you add those things up, you can have a lot of success. And that's what, I don't know if any one consultant can maintain that kind of environment for a community, but you can teach them to maintain it for themselves. And I think that is a big, big driver in what we're proposing, too. So I'm not sure if that makes us different or better. I think it makes us unique. And I think that uniqueness is something important, because what you're doing here is unique for Story County and also unique for supervisors across the state of Iowa. It's kind of an experiment, and that's exciting, like Rick said earlier. And we're just as excited as everybody else to be a part of it. So,
all right.
Thank you.
Brett, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Melanie and Jack.
I don't envy you guys. You have a very difficult decision to make. I think there are three great prospects here in front of you that have a dedication and passion for the economic development in Story County. So I certainly appreciate that. You stole my word there. We do have a unique partnership, Melanie and I do. I'll say different compared to the others. I think everybody has some great experience. Melanie particularly has the business side. She has been the receiving side of economic development. She has worked on site locations for a particular business, Doctors Now, and you'll see that on your RFP and our resumes that we had submitted. She understands what the business side is, what they want and what they're looking for, and that provides a different perspective and one that we could really utilize take advantage of. She's also been involved in the chambers, I think five communities you were involved in, and very involved, and she understands the importance of accessibility and finding out what the wants and needs are of the businesses. Myself, I have been on the economic development side for quite a while, working very closely with LaVon Schultz over the last 10 years, starting off with the Chamber of Commerce and Nevada Economic Development. And so I understand that side very well, what it takes to complete a proposal, what do the businesses look for, and what questions we need to ask when they're looking for us to find sites and opportunities for that area. So with hers and mine, we really think that this is a great partnership that can work to the best advantage of Story County Economic Development. The base contacts that we have, we have a very wide range. She's worked with many businesses, and as well as I have. Particularly, I worked in the Story County area as well as the state. We just had Debbie Durham. I've worked with her as well, and I appreciate she's great to work with has been very accessible to us. So having those contacts, I think, is imperative to try and make sure we are utilizing everything that we need, all of the resources, to provide a good quality resource for economic development in Story County, rural Story County. So,
outstanding.
Good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Good presentations. Yeah. Here's what we're going to do, Board. We're going to do the consent agenda. We're going to take a 5-minute recess. We're going to come back, and we're going to tackle the rest of our agenda. So with that, we got
Let me just also make one statement. Being the long-term member of this board, I want to personally compliment both you and Paul, and especially also Leanne as well. You know, when I went to Kelly the other day, I said to the clerk there, you know, what an exciting time it is here at Story County. We've talked about doing a lot of things over a number of years, and for various reasons, it was mostly in the discussion stage. We're finally beginning to move the needle forward and attacking some things that is truly going to make a big difference, not only in larger communities, but throughout Story County. And I think without you guys bringing this to the forefront and challenging me as well, you know, we probably wouldn't be where we are today. And to me, that's an example of leadership. And I know that a lot of the credit goes to you, Rick, and also to Paul. And I'm just excited about the ongoing direction that we're having right now. And I would be remiss if I didn't publicly thank the two of you for where we are as a county right now and some of the exciting things that we're going to be engaging in over the next several years. Thank you.
Well, yeah, that's really gracious, Wayne, and I'll step in and I'll echo it. I was in Zeering yesterday morning early for breakfast, and there's an excitement in Zeering. I think Brett referred to, they just got an $80,000 or $85,000 grant to do some Main Street revitalization. They got the new telepharmacy going in. There's some things happening up in Zeering that haven't happened, Paul, probably in our lifetimes. I know you lived up there at one point, and I'm starting to feel that all over the county, similar to what you got at Kelly. But, Wayne, what I'll say to you is, while I'm appreciative, I'm sure Paul's appreciative for you deflecting the credit to us. You've been the longtime leader of this board. We are absolutely a team, and everything that we're trying to accomplish, your unbelievably good leadership in helping us through the history of what Story County has been and welcoming us trying to challenge maybe some of that history and some where we've been has been outstanding to work with. So thank you.
Anything, Dan? I'm just glad we're at the point that we're at. Brett said something about the school districts, and when you look through the papers, particularly the journal that's coming out here in the next week or the past week about the classes, the seniors and that are graduating, and you look at Colonesco, who graduated just over 30 seniors, and you look at Collins Maxwell, had a few more than that, but not too many. It's difficult for these towns, and I'm just appreciative that we're able to take this step and see if maybe we can and do what we can do as a county to keep these communities together. And it truly is community development. It's more than economic development. It's community development.
It is. Anything else?
Nothing.
Okay, we'll move on to consent agenda. We have all items, and we have added road closures, 1356, 1357, and 1358.
Move approval.
As amended.
As amended.
Second.
Motion is second. Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consent agenda passes. We have no public hearing items, which will move us to additional items. And coming up, actually, we're skipping the first one. Placement of historical markers will be for next week. So next is discussion and consideration of appointments for the director and an alternate representing Story County. Deb, as you move up, we're going to take a five-minute recess. Any of you who came to present to us, feel free to go. Thank you for your time today. And when you're ready. All right. I will call us back to order. Actually, prerogative of the chair, we're going to slide item number, Roman numeral 8, under, are we on additional items?
Yeah.
Under additional items, we're going to slide item number 8, which is the final additional item, up to right now so that Teresa can get to an appointment. And Teresa, this is discussion consideration of temporary assistant attorney through June 30th.
Well, I appreciate you taking me earlier. Obviously, by the sounds of me, it's a doctor's appointment. So we have a special case that is going to trial again that a prior assistant county attorney had been a prosecutor of, and that was Travis Johnson. He was he's no longer with our office, but right now he's a part-time assistant in another county. Being a part-time assistant, he's also allowed to help other counties. So we would like to hire him temporarily to come back and retry a case that he's tried for us before. Jessica could give you a little bit more history and background on that particular case, but we do still have an assistant position open in our office and have had for a couple of months. We have not filled that for this specific reason, so we would have extra funds in that line item to cover the cost of him coming back and prosecuting this case.
Thank you very much. I don't see a need for us to hear anymore.
No.
This is a county attorney situation.
Right.
He has money in the budget to do
right.
it. We
right.
have an open position.
Right.
So
right.
I'd recommend we take action along those lines, Board.
Right. I would concur.
I'll make a motion to approve the hire of a temporary assistant.
I will second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion? Toot?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Approved.
I was just asked to remind you that there is a green sheet there for an employee action form that will require a signature.
Okay.
You got it. Hope you get to feeling better. Thanks okay. for sitting through everything right. today.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Now back to Deb as we talk about access.
We do access first nope. or the nope. appointment?
Whatever we're supposed to do.
Whatever
the appointment
do.
First. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Okay. Well, as you know, through previous discussions, we are looking at putting the structure in place with the 20E agreement for our Mental Health and Disability Services Region effective July 1st of 2013. So it's 6 to 12 months earlier than what the legislation is requiring. And our region will be referred to as the Central Iowa Community Services Region. And we need the appointment, two appointments for to represent Story County on this regional board. We need a director and then an alternate.
Okay. For me, it's pretty easy. I mean, there's been one guy carrying the water all the way through.
Let me ask the question. Are you speaking primarily of the governing board that is made up of supervisors and so forth when you talk about director there of the region?
Yes.
You're, okay, so this is separate from
governing
the CPC.
Board.
Okay,
yes,
great.
It would be the governing
gotcha.
Board.
Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha.
And just a reminder about the governing board, the makeup of that board is a supervisor from each member county as well as a representative of a provider
right.
in the region and a consumer or family member in the region. And the latter two are non-voting members, whereas the board, other Board of Supervisors members will be the voting members of the regional board.
Well, as chair, I won't make the motion, but I would strongly recommend this board to have Wayne as our representative. He's been intimately involved all the way through. And then, Paul, if your schedule allows, I'd suggest you as the alternate.
I'll make that motion.
And I'll second it.
Okay. Further discussion? Toot. Aye. Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. There we go.
Thank you.
All right. And next item is discussion consideration of access.
All right. About 6 weeks ago, I had talked with you about additional funds that Access was requesting for their shelter services for fiscal year 14. And this is a result of some changes going on statewide in funding for domestic violence and sexual assault services in general. And Angie can give a little bit of an update about some news that she heard about that in a minute. But you had referred the access request back to ASSET, and ASSET had a special meeting on April 30th and recommends the full funding of $9,061 from the county to access for fiscal year 14 shelter services. The funds I would look at coming from any funds that are not drawn down from asset agencies from fiscal year 13, because there will be some funds left over. And then we also have some unallocated funds from fiscal year 14. So combined, that those funds would exceed the $9,000. But we do have sources to pull from to make sure this funding is available.
Okay. Questions?
My question probably would be, since our fiscal guru is here, Lisa, does this, as Deb has described it, kind of matches your thought process about the availability of these funds to meet this request?
I mean, Deb is more aware than I am of what carryover there will be and what unrequested there are for FY14, but I can certainly make a note to make sure we designate those funds.
Probably what I'm referring more than anything is the process by which we would designate them. Now, I don't have any question other than I guess I would be interested in knowing what is the latest, because, you know, last fall we sat in on the discussion and we had the meeting at Mary Greeley to really hear about some of the crisis that was out there for shelter services and so forth. And we were very fortunate here in Story County that we do have an exemplary program and it's meeting the needs, but depending upon, you know, the future direction from the state, is going to be certainly something that we all, I think, through ASSET and the local community need to see what we can do to kind of keep that program viable and in our area.
Yes. Yes, I can give you an update. Last Thursday, we received our award notice. ACCESS did apply, if you'll recall, probably from the information we gave you, we applied for domestic abuse and sexual abuse comprehensive programs to cover Boone, Story, and Greene counties. We were awarded both of those contracts. In that notification, we were also asked to serve Tama and Marshall County with those services. So we will do that. We are willing. That will be a challenge, but we're going to move forward with those plans. Already met this morning with the directors from Mason City and Marshalltown. The Marshalltown director is making plans to end her program, so I'll be working to make a lot of contacts in those areas. The shelter program is still going to operate as we had planned. It's going to be primarily available to Story County residents, and then with some other funds from Boone and Greene County and now possibly from Marshall and Tama, we will make it available to those areas as well. And again, we do have some state funds, or actually federal funds through the state HUD money, so we may have residents from around the state also utilizing, but it'll be at a lower rate than what we're currently providing. The Fort Dodge program did get shelter funds for the North Central region.
And if you don't mind, remind me, when we talked about this and the increase in funding through the asset process, it seems like there were other funders also that were making additional requests. Can you give us an update on where that stands?
We're still waiting to hear. We did hear from Greene County. We made a ask to them to provide more, and I if I am correct, I think that they provided just around $300 more than they did last year, but we're talking $3,000 to $4,000. We're waiting to hear from Boone United Way. We're waiting to hear from Boone City. So a lot of those notices haven't come back to us, but we've made increased asks specifically for shelter.
Okay, and where are we with Ames and Story County?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah. United Way approved the money that we requested from them. I think it was the end of February. It was pretty early in the process. City of Ames has a meeting tonight.
Yep. And it's on there. Okay.
Yep.
Well, for me, Board, there was recognition all the way through that this was necessary.
Right.
It was something we wanted to continue. We referred it back to Asset because that's the process we use. We have the recommendation coming forward from Asset. Now it's in our.
I would move the recommendation of the $9,061 as recommended by Asset for this process.
Second. Further discussion. Clinton.
Aye.
Toot.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Thank you very much. Thanks for the work you do.
Thank you.
Deb, thanks for taking this back through.
Yeah, thank you.
Next item is still Deb, and we're talking about the revised letter of intent for our region, which now has a new member.
Yes, yep. That is the exciting part of this. We originally had 7 members and were approached by Jasper County with interest of wanting to join, and so that's what a lot of this letter of intent has to deal with is adding Jasper County, which would be then a total of 8 counties. Population wise, that would put us over 250,000, just a little bit. So I think that's a good size to at least start off with. Jasper County, I believe, is a good fit in terms of the services that they provide. They're very community-based and community-oriented in the services that are offered there. They are in good, stable financial health with joining the region. They are one of the counties that, if the equalization funding goes through, they are one of the counties that would have to lower their levy. They were above the 4728, but again, still in good financial health if that isn't requiring them to start a waiting list or cut services or anything. So that was good news. They do have a community mental health center, and that's called Capstone, so that would add another mental health center to a region and bring that total to 5 that would be available. Jasper County also uses Mary Greeley's inpatient behavioral health unit for services, so there's that relationship that's already established. We had a regional meeting last Friday with the CPCs, and Jody Eaton, the CPC from Jasper County, attended that meeting, and the remaining counties that need to sign this revised letter of intent include Story County and Hamilton County. So that's the letter that you have before you. We have submitted the 28E agreement and draft fiscal policies to the Department of Human Services. They are sharing those with an attorney from the AG's office for review. We're hoping to find out soon what questions or comments they may have. And Wayne shared with me earlier this morning a response that we got back from the Department of Human Services on our original letter of intent. There's some additional information that we need to submit, but I don't see any of that being problematic.
Okay.
Questions?
No.
I have one. Jessica, have you had a chance to review this letter of intent, and do you see any concerns?
I haven't, but I could do so very quickly. I think it's pretty similar.
Basically, it was just adding Jasper County. I've got an extra copy back in my...
Yeah, I've got the letter. And
okay.
So Deb just detailed the changes for me. I have no concerns with it.
Yep. Board.
I would move the recommendation for the revised letter of intent, to submit the revised letter of intent for the region, which would include the adding of Jasper County.
Second. Further discussion. Clinton.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. Sanders. Aye. That takes care of letter of intent. Deb, thank you very much. Jessica, thanks for short notice, jumping up and reviewing it. Next item is discussion and consideration of revisions to case management policies and procedures. Aaron. Oh, and you get to stay.
I'll just keep it going.
If you're comfortable.
Mine isn't very exciting. I'm kind of bummed about that. I sent over a copy of our updates that we did to the policies and procedures, and hopefully the highlighted versions is what you actually received. Our policies and procedures are a requirement of Chapter 24 that we keep those updated, and basically how we do case management business. The changes that I put in here had mostly to do with incident report requirements. So, you know, when there's something that happens that's major, these are the requirements that providers as well as case managers need to follow. And they kind of changed some of their categories and that kind of thing. So that's the basic change there. There's also an expectation that we review the consumer's assessment and their risk factors when there is a major incident. So there's some verbiage in there about doing that. And then the last one had to do with informing consumers about abuse, dependent adult abuse, what that is, how they can report it, and we're required to do that with them annually. So we had to add that in there as well. And I think those were the major changes in there. So do you have any questions?
I don't. Wayne, anything?
Not at all.
Anything?
Nope.
Okay. Then I'd like to request approval of the policies and procedures.
I'll make that motion to approve the revision.
And second motion.
Mm-hmm. Further discussion. Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Approved.
Thank you.
Thanks. Next item, consideration of purchase of security equipment from CEC for the Story County Justice Center. John and Barry.
I would say good morning, but since this has gone on into the afternoon,
it's that you didn't have anything today, did you?
Gotcha. So, anyway, well, first and foremost, I do want to continue on a little bit with the Love Fest that you guys had earlier, talking about what a nice job you guys do at working together. I would echo that from the sheriff's office standpoint. This part of the discussion we're going to bring forward today on the security issue is something that we have brought to previous boards in the past, but because of financial considerations and the difficult times, we weren't able to necessarily act on some of the things that have been brought forward. Wayne had made a comment earlier when you guys were talking about economic development of moving beyond the discussion stage with items. The security issues that we're talking about for county buildings right now is something that we are now moving beyond that discussion stage, and I applaud you guys for having the vision to step up and be willing to be partners with us as we try to figure out the best way to provide that security in the most cost-effective way possible. So with that, I'll turn it over to Jail Administrator John Asmussen to talk about some of the CEC documents that he has and maybe some of the costs that go along with them.
Okay. I think I forwarded you guys all a copy. Hopefully you've got it, of what we're looking at for cost-wise. The biggest issue is probably the changeover for the operational equipment to get it started, that first step. And just talking to Barry and the stuff that we have here in the jail, we also have, there's a jail one as well as an operational system, so we're looking probably about what I consider that we could maybe match with some commissary funds. I've talked to Jessica that we could probably take a chunk of it out of the commissary fund since it's directly related to inmates. Is about the $42,000 that you saw there out of that $47,000. So if we could maybe, in my opinion, I was talking to Jessica about half, we can probably maybe match with commissary funds out of that chunk. And then the other part that we were going to add the 7 cameras to the jail, I think we can do the whole thing out of that. So that would probably bring it down a little bit towards a little more manageable to what we want to take that first. And then I guess the next step would be, I haven't had a chance to talk to the judges. I think you guys have talked to the judges are the places that I put the additional cameras in the courthouse equal to what they wanted, or did they want anything additional on top of what I was going to add in the county attorney's office, the clerk of court, and then outside the clerk of court in that lobby area that you guys know of?
Yeah, I met with the judges a week ago, and they didn't have any specific locations that they wanted cameras. They just want coverage. They want to... And so, John, we're relying on you to identify at least those first spots that give us better coverage and make that building more secure.
Right. I think they'll take care of our blind spots because then we'll have that lobby area right outside the clerk of court. That area would be covered. We'd have the actual county attorney's lobby as well as a duress alarm in the county attorney's. We'd be able to, in the three major places, they would be able to hit a duress alarm, the county attorney, clerk's office, and every single judge chamber. So...
You know, one of the things we're trying to accomplish here, and I know you guys are somewhat up to speed with this plan, the recording capability that we have, we're trying to make it expandable so as we expand building security to the administration building, to wherever we identify we want to go, that we have the system in place that can handle that. We also have the challenge at the Sheriff's Office of utilizing the commissary dollars to make sure that they are specifically going towards the betterment of the inmates. And so we feel that we can kind of do both of these things with the program that we're presenting to you today. This proposal that we have allows us to use some of the commissary monies, appropriately so, to help build this system that will allow us to grow into the future for security. And so it makes us feel good to be able to bring that to you guys as a partnership between, you know, the county and the sheriff's office to make sure that we're building a system that's going to make sense for everybody and doing so funding it appropriately.
And just to synopsize for me, once we appropriately use those commissary funds, how many more dollars are we talking about for the plan you've presented here for us today?
Oh, that total plan they had was like a 47. So I think between the half of that 42 and then from the 42 to the 47 would take care of the rest of the actual Justice Center. So you're looking at, what, 21 plus about 6 or 7, so probably about close to 30,000, I'd say.
Okay. All right. Barb, have you had a chance to review the plans that John's come up with?
Not the latest draft, no.
Okay. Lisa, I saw you start to squirm. Ongoing maintenance. Right. What kind of ongoing maintenance do we have here?
They're actually, the first year would be covered, and then they're going to try to incorporate that into our current maintenance contract, which he's trying to work that out for me, which we'd see in the future, increasing our maintenance contract to cover the whole building.
And that all comes out of the sheriff's budget every year?
Right now it comes out of my budget in the jail, yes, in the sheriff's office, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Barry, you and I spoke briefly yesterday as we talked through kind of where the sheriff's budget is and where you guys project it going at this point. Do you think there's the wherewithal as we look at doing this full Justice Center for that to be absorbed in the outstanding job you guys have done with your budget this year?
Well, I appreciate the kind words about our budget. Our staff has done a very good job of watching pennies throughout the course of this year, as we take pride in doing every year. As we project out through the rest of this fiscal year we're currently in, one of the things that I would offer up to the board would be an additional $10,000 from our budget to help cover the cost of the program that you're trying to implement at this point in time, which would cut into, I know you guys have limited funds that you're able to put towards this project, but we would offer up $10,000 from our budget in order to help with that.
Okay, and so we expect that it's 30 that we're roughly 30 that we're looking for.
Right. So
that cuts at 20. Lisa Markley, can you remind me, and you can just nod and I'll answer for you. We still have dollars in this fiscal year,
right,
that we allocated for security, and more than 20,000 if we
right.
needed to do that.
Right.
And she answered in the affirmative. We do, in fact. Board.
And this was, again, the area that when we had this discussion area, we wanted to make sure we started there. And this was we tried to prioritize this as we began to look towards other areas in the county. So I think this is more than appropriate.
And I agree. This is absolutely appropriate. It's necessary. I think we identified that this is where we wanted to start. My only hesitation at all is we have charged, I think, two meetings ago, maybe three meetings ago, we charged Barb and Cal with digging in to kind of a comprehensive plan. That said, I'm not sure it's worth at this point putting the brakes on something that we clearly need over in the Justice Center, and our charge to Barb and Cal would just be, as you look at our other buildings, let's try to have some kind of seamless solution as we go through. So, Board, that's the action you'd be taking if we move ahead with this today.
I appreciate the effort from the Sheriff's Office. For me, courthouse security belongs in the Sheriff's Office. This building and the other county buildings, that's a discussion that we'll have when it's appropriate. But for me, it's in your guys' lap. You guys are there every day, and it's your building. So I'm happy with the results, and I'm happy with the direction that finally that this board is headed, and I'll make a motion to approve the purchase of the security equipment from CEC.
I will second that motion.
Further discussion? Toot?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Done. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good.
Consideration of a quote/agreement between Communication Innovators and IT to purchase expansion for the wireless network. Oh, Mike Malloy sitting back there behind you would appreciate that if we actually had wireless in this room.
Oh, that's not the kind we were talking about. We were talking about the old tin can style.
Well, good afternoon. I brought with me our network administrator, Kenny Tran.
Hi, Kenny.
Good afternoon.
He's done a lot of the legwork on this project. Originally, if you'll recall, I brought it to you in our budget discussions for 2014, and you asked me to move it to this fiscal year, which took a little scrambling, but we'd already had a lot of the base work done on the quotes and information on that, so we were good. I did ask for a budget amendment to cover this. However, I've done a little budget cutting as far as our maintenance agreements. Since we are going to implement a phone system next term, a lot of our black box contracts have come up for a one-year renewal. I've asked them to reduce that to monthly. So I found some cost savings there that will cover this project, if I can do that. It's a different line item on the budget, but I think we can absorb it that way. And I called this an expansion of our current wireless network because Kenny has designed this to complement what is currently in place at the HSC building. There is an Aruba wireless controller there that is really overkill for the building. So we'll move some things around. What this will provide is saturation for our main buildings. And we will have, after it's in place, we'll have two different networks, one for the general public and one with security on it, so that we can control what type of traffic goes over it, the length of time you can connect to it, things like that.
Outstanding. Great. Kenny, anything to add?
I'll talk about the process.
The
vendors that you contacted.
Right. I contacted three different vendors to get quotes, for our due diligence, and I came up with the CI, Communication Innovators. They're, came out the best out of the three, and they've been working with us over, years with the fiber runs between the buildings and things like that. So we have the experience and the knowledge of our facility and the layouts. And so we will, initially I was thinking just providing the wireless on a need basis, but because it sounds like, everybody said, they need it. And so now we are basically almost saturating the whole admin building here and the Justice Center, plus the engineering building and possibly the McFarland building out there with the wireless, and that would also provide a backup in the event of the wire network is down for some reason.
I think that's a good point. It is it has some DR potential because the wireless traffic goes over our internet connection, which we recently expanded from 10 to 20 meg. So it is kind of a fall over for that. Sorry to interrupt. And I think one thing to note on this, it's very scalable. We started out targeting key areas, but thought, you know, there's been a great need in the library over at the Justice Center. There's been requests for it here. In a lot of the conference rooms, vendors would like to jump on our wireless network and find out we don't have it. So at first we looked at those key public areas, but then we built it so that it could be expandable. Why would we do something and then a year down the road people say, well, you know, I really could use it in my office and not have that ability. So this is complete saturation. We can modify it and scale it to any way we want.
Okay, good, great.
Other questions?
No.
Barb, thank you very much, and congratulations on managing your budget well enough that you could find this without the budget amendment. I mean, that's big, big time. So thank you.
Welcome.
Further questions?
No.
I would just say that a lot of people, you'd talk about this, would think it's no big deal. But, you know, they've had wireless in their workplace for several years, but it is a big step.
It is.
I know we've had this discussion for 2 years. I'm sure Wayne's had the discussion before we were here, and it's time. It's, you know, let's pull the trigger.
Good.
Another get it done moment.
Sounds good. And before July 1st, right?
Right.
Before, right. That's right.
I would move the agreement between CI and the Information Technologies for the wireless network at $28,054.20 as requested. So.
Okay. Further discussion? Clinton?
Aye.
Toot?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. With thanks to Barb and Kenny.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Departmental reports. Conservation. Mike submitted his report. Knew we had this is not him stiffing us. We knew we had a long agenda today, right, and so we just took that one in writing.
Right.
Leads us to liaison assignments. Wayne, I was hoping you would spend just a minute and update us all on, I'm going to try to say it, the sesquicentennial celebration involving county property.
Well, the biggest question update, I'll be brief. I think each of you have probably gotten an email from not only Brett, but Gretchen, who has been very active on that, and Howard Hammond met yesterday, I think, at least two of us. I don't know if he met all three individually to talk about this, and I assured him that we were kept in the loop consistently, and as a liaison to the veterans, we recognize that this is going to be an event that certainly clearly points out the significance on Flag Day of the history of Story County's involvement in military matters, and particularly around the cannon. One of the big issues that was brought before us was the signage that has long been needed. I visited with Cal Pearson, our facilities, and with Brett, and also with the commission chair about where we were as a county and what funding we had done over the last 6 to 8 years, and felt that the cost was certainly at a point that I thought that we could find a way to fund the $800 as requested. And I think they still plan to go out and reach out to the legions to see if they can get some additional funding coming in, which can help come back to the county to offset this. But in order to get this in place for the Flag Day celebration, I think it was appropriate for us to, again, assist that. And it sounds like the governor's planning to be here. I've heard that this may be one of the only one of the major events that's happening in the state on that occasion. One other request did come to me yesterday at the veterans meeting when we interviewed was if we do have a rain day and they're anticipating more than 100 to 200 people, can we all get in here? And I said, we better look at the weather and hope that that's not the case. Otherwise, we'll have to bring them in shifts. because we do have a fire capacity for this particular room, and we can't have them all in at one time. So that's something, Paul, that we need to work with facilities on if we look like it could be inclement weather. They did want to know about the tent, and I told them that Cal said that that was not an option. But they are really excited about it. We also met as a committee. We interviewed or went through two candidates for the commission, and the commission is setting up an interview tomorrow for those two candidates, and then bring forth a recommendation, which will be in place for the end of this fiscal year.
Thank you for the update. Mike, I have this for you.
All right. Very exciting.
Any other updates for us, Wayne?
No, just my regular liaison meeting with Deb yesterday went well, and we talked about where we were at the state in the mental health, and we're just waiting on the legislator to finalize some things, and talked a little bit about the evaluation process and so forth, and she just updated me on the things that she brought to our attention today on the board. So that is it.
Update on Justice Center. I met with three judges. I met with Judge John, Judge Finn, and Judge Moon late last week. It actually was a really, really positive meeting, and I'm really, really appreciative of those three gentlemen taking their time to discuss the issues with us. The two of you need to be aware that I continue to pursue looking at, from a structural standpoint, security of the Justice Center, but also incorporating with that the reality that I see that our county attorney's office is underspaced, and see what we can do there. To that end, I have had discussions with the county attorney, with the three judges as mentioned, and with Barry Thomas representing the sheriff, about some of the visions I see, along with our facilities director, Cal Pearson. It is my hope that this week I will get a chance to get over and see the clerk of court and visit with her a little bit. And then once I complete those visits, you guys can expect an item on our agenda for us to discuss and consider securing an architect to do some preliminary look at that building and some preliminary drawings for ultimately us to expand the conversation and get real input from every group. Right now it's completely conceptual and really, really preliminary, but I don't want anything to catch you off guard if it pops up on our agenda. That's all I have. Paul, anything?
Good. Had a good meeting in Colo Friday with Leanne and the city clerk about their use of the development services that the county's offered, and they had some good points they'd like to see addressed, and Leanne will actually be the planner that's going to work with Colo. They've got their schedule worked out, and they're both excited to get started.
Outstanding. And Wayne, I know you went to Kelly and did the same thing. I believe that Leanne is in process of scheduling a meeting for me in McCallsburg, where I'll go in and do the same thing. It's really nice that we had those three communities step up, and it seems to be dovetailing together so nicely. Anything else?
Nope. No.
Okay, public forum two. This is an opportunity for members of the public to make comments on items not on this agenda. Mike, do you have anything for us, since you're the one member of the public left with us? And I guess, Jessica, you could consider yourself a member of the public. Announcements from the supervisors.
Well, I would be remiss if I didn't especially congratulate former Auditor Mary Mosman on her appointment by the governor to step in to fulfill David Vaught's remaining term. I know Mary certainly is qualified to take on this challenge, and is very dedicated to doing the best job she can. So I think having someone from Story County in this role, again, is also kudos for us in our county, but I think it speaks well of Mary, and I wish her nothing but the best as she pursues that. And convey that.
Absolutely. I'll echo that, Wayne. And I believe you and her were elected for the first time together, came in, and as I understand it, you had multiple years of really, really working well together and found a great appreciation of who she is. Personally, she's a great friend of mine, and so I am really, really excited for her. But I want to commend the governor. I think the governor made a great choice. clearly it's nice for Mary and it's good, reflects well on Story County, but I think she's a great choice to fill the unexpired term, and I'm excited to watch what happens from here.
Absolutely.
Good. Anything else?
No, I'll just be out of the office for a few days. I have a high school graduation to go to, so I'm excited about that. And, so,
and which one is this?
This is St. Louis. My granddaughter is graduating from a college prep school, and she will be joining Iowa State on June 10th.
And one more thing about her joining
Iowa State. She did make the Iowa State cheer squad.
There you go.
And that's an exciting time,
too. I was trying to tee it up for you. Yeah. Anything else?
Yeah.
And take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Adjourned.